about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Yes, we're the LA Clippers. LA Clippers. LA Clippers number one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Clippers or Lakers?
Go Lakers.
Lakers all the way.
Lakers.
Yes, the correct answer is Clippers.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming. Hardcore. The hardcore Clippers. That's us.
Hey, guys. How about those Clippers? I think it's time to play the King of Mexico's Clippers song. I'm in love with the Clip Show. Go Clippers!
This is our time. You'll never get it back. Leave it on the court like I'm gonna leave it on this track. Play CP, DJ, that's a fact. It's not where you've been, it's about where you at. It's like, this is our time.
And now...
Clippers!
Our feature presentation.
I wow. felt really bad for Dave.
No, it sounds like it was that entire intro.
Well, no, today I could laugh about it, but last night I felt really bad for Dave. Dave has wanted this his entire adult life.
Yeah.
And as a Lakers fan, Kevin, how do you feel about it? Because I saw a lot of Lakers fans mouthing off last night about, you know, they were enjoying the misery that the Clippers fans were going through once again.
I
thought was unnecessary.
After the team loses is a lame time to smack talk. You know what I mean? Like, they lost. They're sad. Okay, everybody can understand that. Maybe we don't get in their faces today or yesterday. You know what I mean? Sort of weak.
But the funny thing for me was seeing people who thought that it somehow made the Lakers better that the Clippers did not advance. Look, the Lakers didn't make the playoffs. You've got no room to mock the Clippers who went further than you did this season. Yeah, of course, you've got a history. You've got an awful lot more to brag about as a Lakers fan historically. But this year, it just seems like the Clippers are not the team you're better than.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
But I was super bummed for Dave because when they were up 3-1 in this series against Houston, I mean, at that point, there's almost no question they're going to advance, right? They got him in the catbird seat.
I just, what?
The catbird seat.
What's a catbird seat?
It's an expression about being in an advantageous position.
Okay. All right. I just walked into the office and Dave was in the fetal position on the floor under his desk.
That's what I'm afraid of.
And he was rocking back and forth and crying.
That's exactly what I was afraid of. But at least his Ducks won. At least he's got that. It's some minor consolation, right?
If he was a Ducks fan,
not really. He's a Ducks fan now, so
sure.
He's not really though. But, even.
Yeah,
I think he would have been happy with the Ducks committing mass suicide last night if the Clippers had won their game. I don't think there's any comparison.
That was rough.
All right, we got a lot of good stuff on the program today. A lot to talk about, including our super super secret announcement later on today in the 8 o'clock hour. But first, let me start with this. I'm always interested in this, and I should preface it by saying that every name that didn't come out of the Bible at one time sounds weird.
Right.
They're names that we take for granted now, but the first time somebody was named Cody, you know, or Jennifer was weird for people because those were new names that we hadn't heard of. I mean, we all mocked Apple 15 years ago, but if you heard some other kid named Apple now, you wouldn't like it. You'd think it was dumb, but at least you'd be aware of it. It wouldn't be the first time you'd ever hear it. So the Social Security Administration every year comes out with a list of the 1,000 most popular baby names in America. Now, you make the list if you have at least 205 boys, if it's a boy's name, named that throughout the year, or 262 girls given that name. So their new list is out, and this gives us an opportunity to see which new names are on the list of the most popular that parents are giving their children in the United States as of right now. And I want to run these by you and see if you like any of them, see if you think they're reasonable names, see if you're glad that they've been invented. A lot of times, of course, they come from what people see in movies and TV. Celebrities generate a lot of these names. For instance, in a million years, I would never name my daughter Aniston, but apparently that's a name now. As a first name, Aniston is a name. Collins is a girl's name. Apparently it has been near the top 1,000 ever since 2009. Apparently there was a teenage girl named Collins in the Blind Side movie.
Right.
But now it has gained a little bit of steam, and Collins is now a popular name for girls. Kind of a weird name, right?
Yeah, I don't think I get that.
Holland. I'm kind of surprised this one wasn't on the list before. I feel like, you know, especially with actress Holland Taylor, I feel like that's a name that's been out there for a long time. But that's on the list. You like that, Allie? Holland?
I don't mind it. I don't mind Collins. I like that. I think that's a... I like last names as first names. I think that's, yeah.
I think it sounds like a last name as a first name.
That is true, essentially because it is. But I think if it lends itself to maybe a family name, I think that's a nice way to honor someone.
There are a lot of names on the list that are named after places. You know, Paris and Brooklyn, London, they're all popular names. But now Holland is on the list.
All right.
Here's one that comes out of, possibly out of TV, Jessa. Made the top 1,000.
Jessa.
Jessa is a character on Girls.
Oh.
And also one of the 19 kids in counting. One of the Duggar girls is named Jessa. And she was in the news a lot this year for getting, or last year I should say, for getting married and having her own baby. So Jessa is now a name. Here's one that I don't know where it came from, but apparently this is an Old Testament Bible name that I have never seen before. It is a girl's name, Noah, N-O-A. Different from the male version, N-O-A-H. This is just N-O-A. I have no idea why that bubbled up, but that is now a name. Zendaya is now a name, for no surprise.
Zendaya, I love.
You like that name?
No, I don't at all.
No. You know who she is. She's a Disney Channel actress and singer. She's very, very popular, and she's been in the news a lot lately, so Zendaya is a name. All right, here's one, Allie, for you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're barren. You'll probably never have a child, but if you did.
How dare you.
Why does he hate?
I don't know. Why does he hate my unborn babies that will never come?
Go ahead. Anakin, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Anakin.
Boy or girl, do it.
How has this not already been a name?
That's true.
Anakin is strong, right?
It is.
Although, if you name your kid Darth Vader, are you putting your kid in a position where now he's got to hear his entire life, oh, you're going to grow up to be evil?
Probably.
Yeah. So, I don't know if that's cool or not. I like it. Baylor is on the list this year.
Baylor, like the
college? Like the university
college?
In Texas.
Huh.
Yes.
Okay.
There are lots of colleges names that are popular. There are boys named Princeton and Fordham, but apparently Baylor is now on the list. Couple more. Bodie. I think you know where that one came from, Kevin.
Skiing?
Yep, from Bodie Miller.
Yeah. I know a couple Bodies.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I do.
There's also a Bowdoin, which I am unfamiliar with as well.
That's a college in Maine.
Top 1,000. Bowdoin is?
Yep.
It is apparently also a British retailer that is popular.
I didn't need either of you flipping me off right then. I'm just saying it's a college in Maine. That is not a Mainism.
I feel like we're going to have to make a rule about talking about Maine.
Maine is her thing. That's for sure.
Like,
this happens, I love Maine so much.
This happens a lot off the air, but okay, you could love Maine. I'm saying maybe you love it privately.
But I think when you're from a tiny place, I think it's exciting when something references where you live.
You need a better life then.
All right, two more on the list. Ford is now a very popular boy's name, apparently.
Huh.
Okay.
As in Henry Ford, Gerald Ford. Apparently, Owen Wilson named his son Ford a couple of years ago, and it gained some steam as a result of that. And the last one, they say they credit the Incredibles. Dash is a name now.
Dash
is a boy's name.
Dash from Ray Donovan. Dash Mihoc.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
He's a real person.
Yeah. He's a real person. Yeah. People like that sound, it says here, like Asher and Nash are also popular names. Ashton is a popular boy's name as well. But Dash. See, now Dash is one of those things that to me is just a word that means something already.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to think of it as a name, but enough people become Dash, then it'll sound normal to us. So there you go. And especially for our listeners that maybe are in the process of thinking of naming a baby, there's a couple of new ideas for you.
Don't choose any of those. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Have you been sent from the future to destroy me? Because it's working!
Tom Six is the name of a director who has done a couple of movies and now a third called The Human Centipede.
Yay!
I don't know if kids love it. I don't.
You know, the kids aren't feeling that one?
Not the kids.
Yeah, this is a weird phenomenon. The first one we thought was funny and kitschy, but the second one was not as good, and now the third one is going to happen in prison. So that's all you need to know. Also on the program today, we have a recap of the K-Rock Winnie Roasty Fiesta.
That was this weekend. That happened.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
We went to that.
Sure.
Yes, we did.
Those are probably things people knew.
Right. We interviewed Florence and the Machine. We'll air that for you, along with other things. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ. We're going to tell you about, we told you about fat yoga. We're going to tell you about bro yoga, broga, which is now apparently a thing.
Well, all right.
And as Bean mentioned, we have the big announcement a little bit later on this morning. And we have in the studio Daniel Cormier. Very exciting.
Fantastic.
UFC 187. He's fighting Rumble Johnson. So that's coming up this morning. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Bean next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning.
How'd you like Mad Men?
Oh, sweet Jesus. It was so delicious.
Is that good? Yeah?
Okay. It was awesome. It was one of the best finales I've ever seen.
Really? I liked it so much last night, and I like it even more this morning.
I said the same thing.
Knowing that Bean said it.
I loved it, and then the more I sat with it, the more I was like, it just keeps getting better in my head. And the more I thought of how the whole thing led up to it and how it all factored in and how perfect a resolution it was for all of those characters.
Yeah.
Everybody was exactly who they were. It was really just masterfully done. I was so impressed.
Masterfully done is a perfect way to say it because there are so many seeds that are planted along the way that you don't know lead to anything.
Right.
And then so many things start coming back to your memory as you see it unfold last night. I was like, wow, Wiener's a genius. I can't wait to see what he does next.
And to have the whole thing sort of pay off in the last 30 seconds in a way that you could never have seen coming, but it's absolutely perfect. It's not a twist at all.
No.
It's the absolute perfect resolution. Oh. You should have known exactly where it was going to go, but it still catches you completely by surprise in not a sort of a gimmicky, twisty way at all.
It was
kind of remarkable. And spoilers. I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but the last 30 seconds were like, oh, of course. This of course is where it was all
but
going.
You didn't anticipate
but
that.
I never saw it in a million
That's
years.
Awesome.
That's how genius it was.
And all completely, you know, consistent with the character. I mean, it wasn't like some weird, he didn't become an astronaut or something crazy.
Well, that's
you know
the
what
beauty.
I mean?
They lead you to believe that it's going to be a total BS sort of 180 for this character. That's going to be something completely different than what he's been the entire seven seasons of the show.
So you're sort of dreading it going
so
into
thinking,
that.
So I'm thinking, I'm watching the last minute of the show saying, really, this is where he's going to go? This is who he's going to be? And then the last 30 seconds, it's like, No, not at all. He's exactly who he's always been and will continue to be.
Well, Kevin, you have a real treat ahead of you when you
decide
to sit down and start watching Mad Men. You're going to have a lot of fun with it.
That's going to be good times.
Yeah, I was truly blown away.
All right, it's 5:56, Monday morning. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of blown away, I know we're going to do a whole recap of Winnie Rose later on in the show. But we were just playing, what, Florence? That was Florence the Machine we were just playing, right?
Unbelievable.
Was it?
Monsters of Men.
Oh, Monsters of Men.
That wasn't as great.
It wasn't as great. No. But I didn't hear the song coming in. I thought it might be Florence. Florence blew me away.
She was on.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Sitting on that stool with her broken foot, just an incredible performance. And Panic at the Disco. I'm just a brand new, huge Panic at the Disco fan now. I was blown away by
them.
They were
great.
As well.
They were great.
I was not prepared for them to be as good.
I was not either.
And for him to be that big of a showman.
He's
unbelievable.
Great front man. Brandon did a great job. Nobody else, no other band, did a backward flip on stage.
That's true.
So everyone else loses, I think. Degree of difficulty.
Absolutely.
Russian judges had to give him a higher score. So it was really, really impressive. And I do want to quickly apologize to Kevin.
Why?
Because we were around at the end of the show. And how often do I get to make it to the end of a Winnie Rose?
Really,
by the way?
Rarely.
The weather was so nice, and I was able actually to stay for the whole thing.
I looked over and I was like, "Ralph is here."
Yeah. I didn't have sunstroke or heat stroke or any of my other strokes that
and
I usually get at the Winnie
yourself.
Rose.
Enjoying yourself.
I had the best time. My favorite Winnie Rose ever. But we get to the end, and we're going to bring out Muse on stage, along with some of the rest of the Kevin Bean family that were still around. And so we get on stage, and I'm introducing everyone, and I get to my friend Kevin. And I mean to say, here he is, the driver of the party bus, Kevin. And instead, it came out, here he is, driver of the short bus, Kevin.
It's a short bus.
And I felt so bad afterwards because I really, that was not what I intended to say at all.
Oh, I thought it was, and I still found it funny.
At all. And I felt so bad because I'm not above, insulting you guys for a laugh, but it was not at all what I intended to do in front of all those people was to call you out and say you're on a short bus.
Ralph had a beverage or two.
I did. I was pretty lit. But I wanted to say the driver of the party bus. Because everyone's having a party. We're having a good time. I expected a big roar to come out. Here he is, the driver of the short bus, Kevin. And it was unnecessarily mean. And it was completely not intended on my part. So I wanted to apologize.
You have truth as your defense, though.
Yeah. Look, it's both not wrong. Accurate. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it was unnecessarily harsh to call him that in front of all those people in a big concert setting. It just was inappropriate.
But they all applauded. But yes. Yeah, yes,
they did it. They nodded.
That's true.
Threw him a couple helmets. So it all worked out. All right, let's get to some showbiz news in the remaining minute that I have here. It is Monday morning, so we'll do the top 10 movies at the box office. Surprise, surprise. Mad Max Fury Road got pitch slapped.
No, you didn't.
As some critics are saying. Pitch Perfect 2 came in at number one this weekend. A lot of people were predicting it would have been Mad Max. Pitch Perfect 2 made $70.3 million this week.
That's insane.
Mad Max Fury Road made just $44.4 million this week.
When you say just 44, that's also really
great. It's a great weekend, yeah. But it's a long way from 70.
Yeah, true.
Significant difference between 1 and 2.
And Mad Max must have cost a whole lot more money to make, too.
And then also number 3 had a pretty good weekend, too. Avengers Age of Ultron made about $39 million.
Wow.
So the top 3 movies made a lot of money this weekend. And then you got Hot Pursuit, which made $5 million. And Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Still in the top 10.
Weird way to say that.
Yeah.
Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 was 5th, tied with Furious 7, then Age of Adeline, Home, Ex Machina, and Far From the Maddening Crowd were your top 10 movies at the box office. Far From the Maddening Crowd, by the way. Anyone?
I'm
not aware of that.
I don't.
Not on my radar.
That doesn't sound familiar to me
that
as well.
Is.
A lot of people worrying about the mental health of Jared Padalecki, star of Supernatural. He abruptly canceled some upcoming convention appearances in Italy and Australia with the cryptic tweet, "I am in desperate and urgent need of my family. I'm so sorry to tell you this, but I must head home. I need all the love I can get right now. Please, please give me a few seconds of your time and write me." People were concerned because Jared has publicly discussed his struggles with depression, addiction, and suicide in the past. And
wow.
So when people read that tweet, they didn't know what to make of it, and there was a bit of panic. But his co-stars and people close to Jared say he's fine. He just needed some rest. He had sort of pushed himself too hard, and all is well. So everyone can relax. Apparently, he's doing okay. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Singer Jack Johnson is 40 years old today. Actress Tina Fey turns 45. And Chow Yun-fat.
Legendary, I love him.
Legendary action star.
He's great.
He is great. 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That weenie roast is a pretty good deal, isn't it?
Sure was fun.
That was a lot of fun. And as Ralph mentioned, the weather really cooperated this year. It was kind of weird to not be 90. It was very comfortable. Do you think Allie may have overreacted a little bit to the brief 10 minutes of showers we had before we went on the air on Saturday, Kevin?
Well, here's what I know.
Oh.
I know that Allie did overreact, yes, because it was raining.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Lightly,
mm-hmm.
For maybe 10...
15 minutes.
Okay, 15.
Not a big deal. If you have an umbrella.
Right.
If you have not suede boots on. If you are not in an open area having to run 5 minutes to the next area. I'm just saying.
But it's not acid rain, though, is what I'm saying. It's just water. Like, it's water.
You're a man. You don't have a lot of hair.
Uh-huh.
Your hair in rain does not then become clown hair.
Mm.
That's a problem.
That's true.
Any woman listening right now would not want to be standing leisurely having a discussion about rain when we could be running to the next area.
Right, sure.
But then nobody was shooting at you, right?
But then Bean goes the extra layer, which is if it was coming down cats and dogs and just crazy, he would be, "What's up with everybody? This is great.
This is a light mist.
Yeah, like this. Everybody's really complaining."
But that wasn't the case at all on Saturday. There was never a time where it was doing that. It was just, I don't think I've ever seen anyone as afraid of water as Allie was. That's all I'm saying.
Love rain so much. If I had an umbrella, totally different situation.
Sure.
I was standing because in then you're the not, elements.
Because then you don't have to touch it because it's icky and it's water.
It's gross.
Okay. Anyway, good times at the Weenie Roast. We were very excited to catch up with one of our favorites. Man, is Florence the sweetest, nicest lady and so talented? And as Ralph mentioned, her performance was so great, right?
Yeah. She's amazing.
New album is coming out in June. We talked to Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine. Check it out. Am I lying if I say we're standing here with the most charming, most beautiful person at the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015?
In front of a tree.
In front of a tree. Florence from Florence and the Machine. Are we climbing? Are we picnicking? Why did you want to talk to us under a tree?
Well, I thought the tree was nice. I thought the tree was nice. It was prettier than the inside of the trailer.
You're tired of being cooped up in the tree. You just want to get out and take a little fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, how are you? First of all, I'm sure people always ask as soon as they see you, my God, you're standing. That's great news. How are you feeling? How's the recovery?
It's good. I've got a boot on at the moment. Right. But yeah, I am standing, but I can't really stand or walk without it. That's the thing. So, yeah, that's why I have to sit down.
Are you so over it?
I'm quite looking forward to being able to move again properly, yeah.
You know, I felt that with all the coverage, and thank God you're okay, but all the coverage of what happened that first week at Coachella where you hurt the foot, I felt like what was lost was people talking about why it happened. Because you were trying to get girls naked in the audience, right? Am I hearing that correctly? Like, that was what was happening?
She yelled, "Let it take off your clothes," I think.
What's up with that? Please go back to that moment in very extreme detail.
There's a bit in Dog Days where we always encouraged everyone to, like, jump, and then we were coming, you know, we were coming back out, and we thought, we can't just get people to jump. We got to get them to do, like, other stuff. And so getting people to embrace, and then, you know, I was like, well,
get free.
Like, everyone, it wasn't just girls. I told everyone to take their clothes off.
So you're trying to get them to embrace nudity.
And then they were taking their clothes off, and I was like, well, if they're doing it, I've got to do it. So I took my shirt off, and then I realized that the rest of the band still all had their clothes on, so I had to get down there with the people who were taking off their clothes.
I sort of
jumped a bit. I'd been jumping on and off stage the whole time, but I think I jumped quite hard, and I felt it as soon as I landed, and that was, you know.
You knew that second that it was?
Yeah.
And you'll never play hockey again, right? I mean, I would imagine. I'm just guessing. So did everyone instantly, like, put their clothes back on and now, like totally it was a bummer then?
Because I didn't know. We didn't know what had happened. So I just kept running. Like, everyone was screaming. Clothes were flying everywhere. I was running on a broken foot. I didn't even realize it. I was just like, didn't know, like, what to do. So I just kept running around the audience. Like, I did, like, a full lap, like, and then crawled off the stage. And my security guard found me, like, behind a speaker, like, kind of, like, I think I've done something, like, holding my shirt in one hand. He's like,
what happened to you?
Yeah.
So you literally crawled off the stage.
I jumped back onto the stage, and then I crawled off the wrong way. So he had to come and find me, and I was behind something a bit crumpled.
So now, has that been terribly impactful with being able to go out and promote this record and do the shows that you need to do? I mean, has it been manageable?
It's been, do you know what's been interesting is that it's actually forced me to, like, perform the songs in a way that perhaps I wouldn't have thought to do, and it's actually been really nice because we've been doing these small shows, and I guess we would have done them full throttle, like the Coachella performance, but because I'm sitting down, it's kind of this intimacy that actually we perhaps wouldn't have got to without being incapacitated.
And you have such a tiny, shy voice, so that's good.
That's what Florence is known for. This intimate show that you're doing and this more intimate record that's coming out the first week of June, So Big, So Blue, So Beautiful, right?
How big, how blue, how beautiful.
That was so close. Yeah. So close. I'm not a professional. I have heard that it's kind of confessional for you, maybe more so than the first two records, and I wanted to talk about how difficult that is, because we always hear from people, whether they're trying to do confessional stand-up comedy or confessing to their therapist or whatever it is, it's really hard to start down that road and be honest and put stuff out there that you have to sometimes admit to yourself. Did you find that to be the case?
I think it was funny because actually when you're making a record, I think you don't really think that much about other people hearing it. It's almost like the songs are for your own, like, you need to make them because there's stuff going on in your head that you just have to get out, and it's like they sort of protect you and you just make them and you don't imagine anyone else would ever listen to them, and then eventually you've got to hand it over and you go, but what? No, like, I feel better now. Like, do I have to let people listen to this?
I'd like to record other songs for people.
No, but honestly, I was like, I'm in a much better place.
Things aren't so bad, everybody.
Yeah. But you never felt like you had to hold back then. You were really able to just let it flow. That's beautiful.
Well, you don't, like, I think when you're writing songs, kind of, when you're trying to understand yourself in that way, like, it's kind of like, you have to just, you're not, it's like, you can't really think about what you're saying. It just kind of comes out, I guess. I wasn't really thinking about it.
Sounds like
much.
Therapy.
It does, doesn't it?
It is like that, yeah.
Do you feel like you're grown up yet?
She just broke her foot jumping off the stage.
Yeah, with my shirt and all.
All right, I withdraw the question. Maybe not. I asked on Twitter earlier if anyone has a question for Florence, weigh in, and I got one from somebody I thought it was interesting. Kanye West, we all know, is a huge fan of yours. He was at your Unplugged show. He wanted to know if you guys keep in touch, and Kanye has been so collaborative lately. Is it something you guys have ever talked about doing?
I think I'm such a big fan. He's so amazing. He actually came to the second Coachella show, which was so nice because he was like, I was on a stool, like he was dancing to Dog Days, like jumping up and down, which was really
Wow, amazing. He's a real fan. He's followed you around.
He's an amazing guy. I mean, I'd love to work with him at some point. So,
how about The Weeknd? That was the other question.
Yeah, we did a tour with The Weeknd.
Right.
He's wonderful. I mean, me and Abel actually worked on a song together a while ago, I think, but I think
I like that you're not sure.
Well, we worked on a song together a while ago, but I don't know, we'd have to keep, I don't know where that one went, but we were going to work together at some point.
Is that one of the fun things about being well known now, is that you get to meet these other musical people that assume you're a fan of
nice.
As well?
Like this is kind of our first sort of festival, really, where you get to see other bands walking around, and it's so nice. Like the Cold War Kids were here, and you know, one of the first songs that we ever recorded was a cover of Hospital Beds in like Izzy's tiny studio, and Chris played a drum, and we had no instruments. And so, kind of to be, you know, it's always nice when you start touring festivals again because you see all the other bands, and you all become friends. And it's,
Do you know Muse?
I've met them a few times. Yeah.
Well, we're so excited to have them tonight, obviously. We're so excited to have you. It's just so great to see you again. And we're really excited about the record coming out.
Thank you.
Are we all going to climb this tree now? Is that how this ends?
I hope not.
Somebody's getting on somebody's shoulders and swinging from a tree? All right. Promise you won't hurt yourself. All right?
I'll try.
We love you. You're always welcome on K-Rock.
Thank you
so much for the time, okay?
Thanks.
Okay. Monday mornings, about this time, we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin in the TMZ newsroom where the news watch never stops. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It's good, guys. How about you?
Very good, thank you.
Doing fine. You watched The Mad Men last night. What'd you think?
I did not see Mad Men last night.
Mm. Oh, okay.
You know what I'm watching that I really like? Have you seen Daredevil?
Yes. On Netflix?
So good.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, Netflix is, he's owning it over there, man. I'll tell you.
No.
Well, we got some stuff we wanted to talk to you about, Mr. Levin. Sure. Thanks so much for coming on. Of course, the Billboard Music Awards were on last night. The last couple of years, that's become a show that people care about. They certainly had the star power out front last night. Let's talk about the Kanye West performance.
Did you hear it? I didn't.
Nobody did. Nobody who was watching it heard it. Do you mind, Harvey, before we talk about it, if we play a clip for folks who maybe didn't hear?
Oh, please.
Okay, you'll love this. Now, bear in mind that Kanye's on stage, and the song that he has chosen to perform is about 50% the N-word and about 50% other words. So already he's given the censors a fright. And on top of that, there's so much smoke and fog and fire on the stage that you really can't see Kanye
West. I'm not positive he was there.
Right. So you can't hear him or you can't see him. And that's what you want in a performance from one of your musical favorites. Listen up. But Harvey, they have rehearsals. Why would they allow? What happened?
I generally don't do this, but since I love you guys, Charles is kind of feverishly writing this up right now, so I'm going to tell you before we put it up on the site.
Awesome.
But we are told that Kanye didn't rehearse, and the ABC people that we spoke to are saying, this is such a great line, it's like, well, he's such a big star, what are we going to do? So he didn't rehearse, and there's a clean version and a not clean version, and they made an assumption that he was going to do the clean version for TV, and he didn't. So they had no idea. They were blindsided by this.
Oh, man. How about that? Now, is Kanye smart to do this because we're now talking about his performance because we couldn't see it? If he had done the radio-friendly version, we would have gone, oh, Kanye was on TV last night. I didn't hear anything about it.
No, it's totally smart. I mean, this is what he does. I mean, he is, you know, he kind of acts above the fray so that you think he doesn't really care about publicity. This guy is a master of publicity. And obviously, he did this because he knew that everybody was going to be talking about this, that he essentially jacked the the ceremony, mm-hmm. and it was, like you say, it was hilarious. You couldn't see him, you couldn't hear him. It was 15, at one point, there was 15 seconds where they just cut the audio.
That's pretty strong.
Unbelievable. Hey, speaking of his, speaking of Kylie, speaking of his family, there were boos last night for Kylie and Kendall, like big time, right?
Boos, and Kendall seemed upset. Kendall seemed upset. Yeah, don't you find that kind of interesting? I mean, where it's coming from? Are the
I do.
Coming,
I do, and resentment? I'm. That's what I wanted to ask you. Is it over them? Have they already developed that? You know, that kind of hatred from people, or is it just association with their famous sisters?
I think when you put them in front of artists, that artists are—they're both upset.
Yeah.
And they're petty because they just think that people should become famous by talent and that they don't have talent. And what they're missing is that's kind of a self-absorbed thing to say, that, you know, people made Kim and the Kardashians famous because they wanted to make them famous.
Right.
They didn't care that much about talent. And I think it's kind of sour grapes by people at the Billboard Awards because they think, oh, it should only be. It's kind of like, you know, when the print medium was king and then all of a sudden television came along, it's like, oh, television. You know, it's everybody has this hierarchy where we're better than them. And I think that's the way the artists think of the Kardashians, and it pisses them off.
It'd be pretty difficult. It'd be pretty difficult to be an artist and not feel that way, though. You know what I mean? Like, I actually worked hard on something
to be here, right?
But you know what? You know what's funny? You know who doesn't feel that way? Kanye West.
Well, he's a little ingrained in the Kardashian machine as well.
But he wasn't. Yeah. But he wasn't. I mean, Kanye West is a supreme artist, and yet he
takes Kim seriously. Yeah, no, you're right about that. All right, let me ask you one more thing on that, Harvey, and that is, isn't one of them, either chlamydia or condom or whatever their names are, isn't one of them only 17 years old? Is there something to be said for bullying a 17-year-old by booing her just for standing up on stage talking into a microphone?
You're talking about Kylie. She's she's almost 18.
Yeah.
And B, you know, this is the one that is famously dating Tyga, who's 25 years old.
Right.
There's a whole thing about that. And, you know, you got to look at her, too. I mean, this is a woman who manipulates the media, who is, you know, who has really learned from her family. She has a business now. She's a multimillionaire. So she ain't your typical 17-year-old.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't use the word bullying. I mean, she puts herself out there, and she's standing out there in the public.
Okay, right. She's
on
stage.
Just
throw it out there. I just wondered if there's there's an age that's too young to boo somebody
She went up on stage. She manipulates the media. I mean, they are masters at, you know, being, you know, involved in the media. So, I mean, and then they probably knew some of that was going to happen. I just don't know that they knew it was going to be that loud.
It is. It's really impressive that Kylie and Kendall have, they have managed their careers, if you want to call them that, so perfectly. They get bigger and bigger. You probably see it on the site, Harvey. They get bigger and bigger. It seems like every month. I mean, they are full-fledged famous now, and they're kids.
When they started doing all this stuff, I honestly thought this is just going to fail. You can't have a new generation because this is so about Kim Kardashian.
Right.
And they did it. And, you know, a lot of it is their mom. I mean, she is a master at this stuff. And they did it.
Yep. Northwest hasn't been booed yet, though, right? She's
not
still
yet.
Safe. Okay. That's it. You can see all the stories at TMZ.com, of course, round the clock. It should be your homepage, frankly, as good as it is. Also, you can watch TMZ and TMZ Live on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports. Here's Monday through Friday at 3 on The Reels Channel. Harvey, have yourself a great week. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
You too, guys. We'll see you.
Look, here's all I know. I would not want to be fighting Rumble at UFC 187. That would not be my idea of a fun evening.
I would love to see you fight Rumble.
I know you would.
On the other side.
But imagine if that were looming in your future, Kevin. Imagine if you knew there was a date on the calendar where somebody was going to put you in the octagon with Anthony Johnson.
Well, I mean, for me, it would sort of be prankish because I'm not an MMA fighter. But for Daniel Cormier,
he's prepared.
And of all people to be prepared for this.
Okay. I mean, Rumble has to fight Cormier.
I know. That's true, too. Well, Daniel Cormier is our guest in the 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. That is coming up. And don't forget, we got a big-ass announcement, and that's officially what it's known as a big-ass announcement at around 8:30. There's a thing called Broga, you guys. Not a joke, not a Saturday Night Live skit. It is for real. It is called Broga. Apparently, men are late to the party, but they are now discovering the advantages of yoga. And I didn't realize this. Allie, maybe you know more about this than I do. I don't know anything about exercise. I didn't realize that many men are uncomfortable going to yoga classes with women. They don't like being in those kind of sometimes embarrassing pretzel-like positions around a lady. Is that a thing? Have you heard about that?
I think notoriously men can't stretch in the same way as ladies can. So
right.
If you see a woman just bendy like a pretzel and you can barely even bend over and touch your knees,
yeah,
that could be a little embarrassing for a man's ego.
Here's a financial analyst quoted in this story. His name is Eric Wright. He lives in San Jose. He says, I consider myself an athletic guy, but I've never been flexible, and I didn't like the thought of embarrassing myself in front of a group of women. So he and others go to this place called Broga, which apparently is huge. Apparently it's in 22 states now and spreading fast.
Last week, I think we talked about fat yoga. This time it's bro yoga.
That's right. Broga, right. So we wanted to find out more about this. So we asked Dave, who can we talk to? We do have an instructor, a Broga instructor named Braden Forrester is on the line. Mr. Forrester, thank you so much for joining us, sir. We appreciate it.
Yo, bros, what's up, man?
Whoa, that's
wow.
That's a lot. For
Broga!
What? Wait a second.
Broga!
That's not what I expected. I thought Broga was supposed to be like mellow and it's supposed to be peaceful and quiet.
No way, man. We're more about the burn, about the stretch than we are about getting your chakras aligned, you know? I'm your leader, man. I'm like Broby One Kenobi.
I'm sorry that I don't really know anything about regular yoga, so I don't know how is Broga different.
Different ways. You know, we're not all touchy-feely. No homo, man. No homo.
What?
Very bro.
We're no homo.
Right, I understand. Yeah, you're just talking about the
about the burn,
just
about the stretch.
Right,
about feeling your muscles tear, about sweating. It's not about find your inner peace, man. Forget about it. Wow.
are there any yoga moves, or are you just not doing anything?
Of course,
stretch
we have yoga
out?
Moves.
Like
the Pillsbury Bro Boy. The Broller Coaster. Brogy Bear. Hootie and the Brofish. Beer Pong.
What?
Oh.
Beer Pong?
It's not a move. I just really love beer pong.
Oh, yeah.
Bros!
Now, is there a guitar in the class with you, or is...
No, it just comes out of me. I don't know why.
Oh.
It's coming out of you.
Yeah. Ever since I started using Axe body spray.
And you're finding that men are enjoying this? Are they feeling peaceful when they walk out?
All kinds of men. White dudes, Asian dudes, Afro-Americans.
Wow.
Just pop your collar and come on down. It's sweet!
Sounds like we're missing out, Kevin.
Is this super popular? Do you have a lot of guys coming?
Yeah, like three.
I'm sorry, three?
Yeah, we do it in my basement.
Oh, that's not what I thought it was at all then.
Mostly we just play Madden.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Speaking of Muse, got this email from Kevin and Bean listener Angela. I honestly don't know how they do it. Muse completely and utterly blew away all the other performances at the Weenie Roast. I'm going to stand in line somewhere until there's an announcement about their tour. I love that she's going to go stand in line now in case there's an announcement about a tour coming up in the future.
Stand in line over Chick-fil-A and get us a couple.
There
you're
going to
stand in the line just randomly. Just make yourself useful.
And then when they announce it, then she's going to have to go back home so she can get on Ticketmaster and buy
that's right.
Exactly.
They were amazing, fantastic, superb, mind-blowing, marvelous, magnificent, enchanting, fabulous, miraculous,
right.
Mind-boggling,
okay.
Otherworldly, and great. Can they headline every year, Angela wants to know. Well, I don't know that it works like that, but they sure were great.
So she did
sure.
or didn't like the show?
I think she sort of enjoyed it, is my takeaway anyway. All right, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
I still say Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, they were great.
They were great.
Muse didn't cover Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah,
so
true.
Suck it, Muse.
By the way, we talked to Muse about that before they went on stage. We said, hey, you know Panic at the Disco did Bohemian Rhapsody, and I think it was Dom who said, I don't think anyone has ever attempted covering that song before. he was impressed.
Yeah. It is ballsy.
He said, that takes guts.
And, by the way, guts. They crushed it.
It was phenomenal.
It really did.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you want to see at a big live show like that, a festival show. Something that just mixes things up a little bit. You know,
absolutely.
Most bands just come out and play the hits or whatever, but that was a really memorable moment.
And when they start it, you think, okay, they're just going to do 30
seconds. They're going to goof around.
Yeah. 30 seconds of it, maybe a minute, going
bam,
to something else.
The whole thing. Just launched into it.
It's pretty strong.
By the way, Ralph, I don't think you were with us at the side stage, but Big Data did a pretty cool cover of Hall & Oates' Out of Touch as well. Oh, Private Eyes. They did Private Eyes as well.
I'm all for that.
Which was super fun.
And I liked Death Cab for Cutie's Jazz Fusion set they did for about a half an hour when they came out on stage. That was unexpected.
They didn't sing for about 15 minutes.
It was
Zod.
It was Spinal Tap-esque. So, good times. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This weekend, surprising a lot of people, Pitch Perfect 2 came in at number one with over $70 million. That is a lot of pitches going to see that movie right there. Mad Max Fury Road came in at number two with about $45 million. Then Avengers Age of Ultron with $38.8 million. Hot Pursuit, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, Furious 7, Age of Adeline Home, Ex Machina. And far from the maddening crowd, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office.
How long has it been since the number three movie made $38 million?
It's been a while.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. I don't know if anybody, there's a lot of watch on TV last night. You had the Mad Men finale. You had the Clippers. Colossal meltdown.
That was
you
not.
You hadn't really touched on that today.
Yeah, that was rough.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
And I'm no Clipper fan, but I always like to root for the L.A. teams if I don't have a dog in the fight. And that was a mythic collapse.
Yeah, it was a collapse for sure.
I mean, 3-1 in the game.
Yeah,
series
it was rough.
Lead. It just, it was
I wasn't rooting for them because I am a Lakers fan. But I felt bad for them because, man, oh, man, that just sucked.
Plus, we have to work with Dave, and now his attitude's going to be crappy.
Yeah, he's already distracted.
Just moping and crying in the other room.
And then on the other channels, there was the Billboard Music Awards. Or, as I like to call it, the Taylor Swift variety show. And they showed her new music video, Bad Blood, which is awful.
Is it?
It's awful.
Oh, Bean's been talking about this now for 2 weeks.
I know he has. I wonder if he knows how awful it was.
We discussed this, I think, off-air earlier. I was disappointed in it as well, Ralph, perhaps for different reasons than you, but what was your problem with it?
It's nothing. It's just a series of shots of various people dressed up to look like they're in a futuristic movie.
Bean, was it awful?
I don't think it was awful, but it was completely unnecessary. And Rob's right. There was no character development. There was no story.
It's just a series of people with names attached to them. Dressing up in cool-looking gear, pretending to be badass, who aren't.
What I said when I came in is Kevin would love this at 90 minutes. This would be the perfect movie for Kevin because there's no plot whatsoever. It's just a series of louds.
But is Taylor Swift in it?
It's not even louds. It's her song, which isn't that good.
Yes, Taylor Swift is in it, Kevin. She does star in her own music video, if that was your question.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wears a lot of black leather and looks glowering into the camera as if she's a badass.
She is a badass.
It looks like a parody. It looks like a parody of a video. If someone's going to make fun of a Taylor Swift video, this is what they would have come up with.
I agree with that. I think you're right about that.
It's hilarious. It's unintentionally hilarious. Anyway, she won 8 Billboard Music Awards last night.
Wow.
Including top artist, top female artist, top Billboard album. She said about the evening, "This is such a good night. What even?" I S you not. That's what she said.
A bitch.
Was she surprised every time she won an award?
She was. Keep it up for
she didn't
award?
Even know she was nominated, I think, for some of the categories. Just shock after shock.
And
she
won. I think the funniest thing about that, Ralph, and I don't know a lot about this show, but I think this is based on just pure sales. I mean, this is their charts, right? So it's not like it's a surprise that you win, I don't think, because I think you know you have the best-selling album and you have number one songs or whatever it is that you win for.
So there's no drama in who wins?
I don't think so.
I don't know anything about these awards. I just know it was a big television show.
I think they're made up. I think they're made up awards so that they can have a TV show.
I know the top rap artist went to Iggy Azalea.
You
that's
saw
all
that?
You need to know about
I saw
the
that
Billboard.
And I thought of you. I was like, Ralph's going to be very
all
happy.
You need to know about the Billboard Awards. But the upside, the biggest moment of the evening, you guys touched on this with Harvey Levin, was the moment where Kankle and Cold Sore Jenner got up on stage.
I think it's Kylie.
Kylie and
Chlamydia. Condom. I think Bean said condom.
It's Kendall. Condom? I think it's I researched that. It's Kendall.
It's all K sounds.
Right.
They got up on stage to introduce their brother-in-law, Kanye West, who, by all accounts, again, I didn't see the whole show, had the worst performance of the evening by far.
Well, we don't know. We'll never know because we weren't able to see it.
Or hear it, for that matter. Or hear a lot of it was blacked out. But the part you did hear was him screaming really loudly and jumping
but at least there was a silhouette. At least there was a lot of smoke so you couldn't see him at all.
It is the Emperor's New Clothes with him. He has finally convinced everyone, if you scream loud enough, I'm great. I'm a genius. The people in the audience looks transfixed as if they were watching something entertaining. It was hilarious to me. It's like, don't these people have ears and or eyes, or they just completely drank the Kool-Aid?
You think they drank the Kool-Aid, or they were literally trying to figure out what's going on?
No, there's people there who's just jamming out like they were on acid at a Grateful Dead show. That was stunning to me. It's like, don't they see what's going on?
Like, that's where the booze should have come?
Yeah. Well, apparently, according to some stories, they did at the end of his performance. But the ones you could really hear very clearly were when Klepto and Crypto got up on stage and they were introducing. Here you go.
It's an honor to introduce this great artist, a friend, an inspiration, a brother, and now a doctor. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kanye West.
He's now my guy now.
It is a pleasure to introduce a man who is a brother, a father, and now a doctor. Here he is, Kanye West. Who are these mannequins? Why are they on my television? Harvey Levin defending them. They've really developed their lives. Stop it. So they were booed, which made me happy. And I'll save that for later. I'm out of time. I'm out of touch. Today's celebrity birthday is Chow Yun-Fat. Is 60 years old today. Actress Tina Fey turns 45. And Jack Johnson. Ah, Jack. This is his time of year. This makes you just want to put your bubbly toes in the sand and put on your Tommy Bahama and just crack yourself a cold one and list yourself some Jack Johnson.
He has kind of created, his own lane. No one's really kind of doing what Jack Johnson does. And when you're in the mood for that, he's
summer
great.
Summer music. It's summer music. Yeah. He is this generation's Jimmy Buffett. That's all.
That's right. That's exactly what he is.
God bless him.
Because of his hit.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Yes. Doesn't that just scream beach to you?
Sure does.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Daniel Cormier, DC himself, will be in studio here in a couple of minutes talking about UFC 187.
Can I tell you what's funny about Daniel?
What?
He's already here. He's in the building.
Yeah.
He arrived early so that he would have time to play Pac-Man before he went on the air with us.
All right.
On purpose, so he could be here to play Pac-Man, because we have that machine in the lobby. Isn't
that
funny?
Yep, absolutely.
He's great. Hey, major announcement here on the Kevin and Bean Show around 8:30 or so. Can't overstate enough. You do not want to miss that. Right now, though, I'm glad we have this listener on the phone that we'll go to in a minute, because you guys mocked me. Kevin, you in particular mocked me. Ali, I don't remember if you did or not. Mocked me tremendously when I cried a couple of months ago because I just broke down in tears on hold with the cable company. I was on the phone with the cable company and they broke me.
Well, first of all, you can't physically cry. So you factor that into it. And then, like,
you think I physically have no tears?
Yeah,
is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. And then it's a situation where I understand it can be super frustrating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I get angry, but I can't imagine crying about that kind of frustration. Like, that's just not my reaction.
But you start to feel, you know those movies sometimes where they swap out a person's life and it just it freaks him out and he just can't get his head around, wait a minute, this isn't my life. This isn't the way things are supposed to be. This isn't me. It's a trick. And no one will believe him. That's what you feel like. You feel like you're fighting the system and they're winning and they're beating you down. I'm getting emotional just talking about it now.
We're still talking about a cable company.
Yes, we're talking about being on the phone because you know what they do, Ellie. You know they put you on hold for like 10 minutes and then they come back and the person you talk to has never heard of you before, and all the stuff you've told the previous three representatives, they don't have access to that.
It's super frustrating.
And you have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
I don't know how to not cry when it gets to a certain point in that phone call. So I get an email from a podcast listener named Britt, who joins us on the phone right now. And I wanted to bring her on because I think I need some backup, because you guys think I'm a crazy person for breaking down and crying on these customer service calls. Hey, Britt, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. First of all, you said you're a podcast listener. Where do you live and when do you listen to the show?
I live in San Clemente, but I love to listen to the entire show. So I just listen to it on the podcast with no commercials.
Oh, you're the sweetest. mentioned. We appreciate that. All right. So what happened? What's going on with you?
Well, the past 3 weeks, I've barely had cable. At one point, I didn't have cable for about a week and a half.
Oh, my God. Yeah. A week and a half without television?
That's like not eating for beans.
It's worse.
Why didn't you just move? Why didn't you just pack a few things in a bag and move someplace else?
And every time, like, a person would come out to help me, they wouldn't be able to help me pretty much.
What were they telling you? What was the issue? Did everybody give you a different issue?
Yeah, different issue. One guy was at my house for over 2 hours and put in new splitters and all kinds of cables and told me I had the best signal ever.
Right.
2 days later, the next guy came because it stopped working, and he told me that I didn't have a signal at all.
Sweet.
So what do you think was going on? I mean, do you have a rodent problem or something? Is somebody eating through your cables? Why does it keep going out?
They've been doing a lot of construction on our apartments, but last time they had to just completely change the box, so I'm just at loss. I don't understand anymore.
Okay. All right. So every time the cable goes out then, Britt, you have to get on the phone with them and call again and start the whole process over and get an appointment and the whole deal.
Exactly. So last time I walked in my house and the cable box had an air on it, I pretty much just like sat on my couch and wanted to cry.
All right. Well, hold on. Hold right there. You wanted to cry.
Right.
Because you were frustrated.
Right. Did then you're cry? On the phone
hold,
for an hour,
hold, please,
and
hold.
Then you cry.
Hold, please. Did you cry?
I definitely cried at work while being on the phone for over an hour.
Okay, so you didn't cry when you came home and saw the TV was out, but once you got on the phone with them for the fifth time in three
exactly.
weeks, that's when you started to break down.
Exactly.
Now, did they know you were crying?
I hope not.
Because I tried to hide it from my guy.
Exactly.
Why? I would think that would... That
I
would
can't
make
give them the satisfaction to know that they broke me.
I do feel like a lot of times big companies like this, they hope that you run out of steam.
Exactly. That you give up.
That
yeah.
you give up. Right. They break your spirit so that then they don't have to actually fix the problem.
Exactly.
I do believe that.
I feel like maybe crying might actually help. Because then they put it on the screen like, oh, she's a crier.
Oh, she's crying.
And then maybe they get to you quicker because they don't want to hear it again.
So you think they actually do employ some humans on the other end of the phone, Allie, in addition to the robots that Britt and I have to talk to?
Yes.
No.
You have to get to that person, I think, over the course of 6 or 7 calls, but you'll
right.
get there.
Britt, what kind of work do you do?
In accounting.
Accounting. Okay. So you deal with a lot of things.
That's a great deal.
A lot of things.
That's
help us.
Really so wait, hold on. Do you indeed deal with a lot of things, Britt?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay. All right. I guess what I'm thinking is in terms of you work with computers, you have coworkers, you have people that you have to talk to, you talk to people on the phone. Can you figure out how Person C doesn't have any idea what conversation with person A and person B were like? Shouldn't there be some sort of way on their end that they can type up the progress of the call to the next so that when it goes to the next person, you don't start from scratch?
Yeah, you would think that, but that's not how it works at all.
Like in your business, I bet you have some sort of a system, right? In our business, I think we have some sort of a system. I don't understand. I mean, are they doing it on purpose? Is Kevin right that they really are just trying to grind you down?
I feel like they do. Even when they put you on hold, the hold music is so intense. I feel like they just want you to hang up.
Well, I think, otherwise, they have to solve your problem, and they might not know how to do that. I'm not sure that they do that on purpose, but it doesn't make sense to me that once you give them the information, that's not given to the next person. You
know, right.
And yes, literally start from scratch with every person. That's crazy.
Well, I love
but
how
I've never cried once.
I love how your email ends, which is where you bring up maybe it's time to sue for emotional distress. But I just want to say, if you decide to do that, I am in. I will be part of your class action lawsuit. I don't even have your cable company, but I'm still in. And anyone else, we'll get it together. We'll get enough people together to make an impact. But did they finally solve your problem? Do you have cable now?
As of right now, yes. But who knows in a couple of days.
Yeah, it could be a completely different situation in a couple of days. Oh, how dare you? That's just mean. I think it's completely understandable.
Thank you.
Britt, we appreciate you very much listening and enjoying the podcast. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Bean Show with us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Are we looking to the next UFC light heavyweight champion of the world right now? Is that what's happening in our studio? Daniel Cormier joins us once again on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, DC, how are you, man?
Doing pretty good, man.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. You know, we love having you on the show. And we just got cut off by the end of that song there. You were starting to tell us about this water thing. So this is the week of the fight. And why are you drinking two gallons of water a day?
Well, I start to, like, you prepare your body for the actual weight cut, so you just kind of water load as you get ready to start to pull it off. So you overhydrate so that when you go into the sauna to start making your weight, it just kind of pours out. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced, because before, when I was wrestling, I would cut myself off completely from Wednesday. Now I eat up until Thursday night, Friday morning, and I'm drinking all this water. But as soon as I start to work out, I'm losing 8, 9, 10 pounds in an hour, hardly doing anything.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But you're hardly doing anything is more than right. I do in a year.
Well, I can honestly tell you, my weight cut, it's like I go into the sauna for 10 minutes, put on my gear, I run a mile at 5, very slow. Then I walk for 20 minutes, and then I just lay down to finish the hour, and I lose 9 pounds.
Wait, laying down is part of your losing weight?
Yes.
That's awesome.
That's never worked for me. That's so weird.
I lay down after I'm all hot, my heart rate's up, and then my coaches, they cover me in a whole bunch of towels, head to toe. And
how much weight do you have to cut?
Right now, probably 19 pounds.
What? And it's Monday, and you have to cut 19 pounds by Friday, and you're not worried about that.
And that sounds easy. No. The way you say it, it's like, oh, it's no problem.
Well, because normally I'd be a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But like today, I'm 223 and a half, so 18 and a half pounds. I'll work out tonight and probably lose 7 pounds when I work out. So I'll end up 216, eat my way back up to about 221, and I'll keep doing that up until like Thursday night. Then I start to cut myself off.
All right, now what time do you weigh in?
I weigh in Friday at 4 o'clock.
And then from that point on, you can gain as much weight as you sort of can? Or
Kevin, I actually weigh 205 for 2 hours. I will weigh 205 from 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday till 4:30 when I weigh in.
Right.
The moment I'm off that scale, I'm good. By the time I step into the octagon on Saturday night, I'll be 227.
That really
is astonishing.
That does not seem healthy, and yet you're probably one of the healthiest people.
That's the best thing about the water, is because you take it out at the very last minute, then you just put it back on. So if I was to weigh 217, 216, that's the highest my body would allow me to go back up. So because I stay a little heavier, my body just goes back to where it's normal.
Now, cutting weight, a lot of times guys talk about the fact that that can take energy out of them.
Mm-hmm.
The cutting weight was hard this week. Cutting weight was hard, and so then they kind of lose a lot of energy.
Well, it's,
at least I'm not in the sport, but that's
well, cutting weight sucks in the moment. Yeah. It always sucks, but once
I'm saying during the fight,
not so much.
Not so
because
much.
If you do it the correct way, you know, I've been dieting for a month and a half, so if I start at 235, I'll diet down to 223. And lose 10 pounds of fat. And then once you lose the fat, now you're just dealing with water. And, I mean, what's our body made of? 70% water? Something's crazy, you know?
Right.
So you can take out a lot of water.
Very interesting.
How many times a day do you weigh yourself?
I weigh myself in the morning. The moment I wake up, then I go to the bathroom. Then I weigh myself again to see if I lost any weight.
What's your record for weight loss in the bathroom?
1 pound.
That's a lot.
Just
that
overnight,
is a lot.
1 pound.
That's a lot.
That's Taco Bell's fault, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
That's a big weight.
You will do some disgusting things to manage your weight.
You're dropping some weight in the bathroom.
No, I just peed.
And
lost a pound, yeah.
That's insane.
All right. Let's bring everybody up to speed here, DC, because this is a fight. You sat down this morning and you said, who's the luckiest guy in the world?
Yes.
This is a fight you were not expecting to be participating in on Saturday at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, by the way, on pay-per-view starting at 7 o'clock. Prelims there at Fox Sports 1 at 5. You can go to the fight, by the way, at Ticketmaster.com or the MGM Grand box office. So when you unfortunately had the decision against you back in January, you thought you were done for a while, right?
Well, you know, I actually figured I would have to rebuild myself because John and I had a really big fight. It was the best. John Jones and I had a big fight, best-selling fight of the year so far. So that's attractive to the organization. So if I could have won a fight or two, I could probably sell them on letting me fight him again. But I figured I would have to do some work in order to stand across the cage from the champ.
So right after you lose that fight, you have to start thinking, I'm going to get another shot, but it might be a while.
It might be a long time, a year or more, right?
Well, yeah, you know, that's the sucky part, you know, because the reality is you lose in that moment, and there was so much that went into that fight that I was like, man, this might be it for me. You know, I'm 35. I'm going to be 36 in January.
So mentally, you thought, maybe I'll never get another shot at this.
Exactly, because I'm older. But then the UFC you know, right as I was going, Dana goes, you're not going anywhere. He goes, you're right there. You know, you're very close. It's the first time you've ever lost. So that in itself gave me a little hope. And then I was just kind of cruising, you know, doing my job, working TV. And then I heard that this fight was going to happen in New Orleans. And I was like, okay, that's something that could actually get me off the couch is to go fight at home. So I signed up for that New Orleans fight. And then this happened. And it was 2 weeks before.
All right, now this happened 3 weeks before the fight. And not to... You're not happy that this happened to John Jones, but no. For you, it was an opportunity. That
it's an opportunity.
You were not looking forward. I mean, you didn't know it was on your horizon.
No, not at all. You know, you got to stay prepared. And I had started preparing for Ryan Bader. So I was going to do an 8-week training camp for Bader because for Jones, the first time I did 14 weeks, which is way too long. I was going to do 8 for Bader. So I was already 3 weeks in the training camp whenever this thing happened with Jones. So when they said, you would fight 3 weeks later. I'm going, okay, well, that's still a 6-week training camp.
Right.
Hard, and that should be sufficient. So, man, I'm not happy about what happened to Jones. It's very unfortunate because the guy has the world at his fingertips.
Yeah.
And he seems to keep allowing it to get the best of him. But, you know, a lot of times, man, opportunity presents itself and you have to be ready to jump on it.
I saw you talking about the call to Dana White. Tell us about that.
It was nuts. He was on vacation. It was like... The problem was I wasn't going to call him, but then Ryan Bader, stupid Ryan Bader, the guy I was supposed to fight next,
right,
went and put something on Twitter. So I was like, oh no, this is not happening, right? Like I'm not
saying
gonna do
that he wants to fight for it.
Yeah, yeah, Bader goes, look, very unfortunate, but I am willing to step up and fight if there's a championship on the line. I go, okay, hold on, I'm not going to do this publicly.
Bader.
Yeah, Ryan Bader, calm down. You know, you won 4 fights, yeah. But who did you beat, honestly? But anyways. And I've taken to making fun of Ryan Bader. It's kind of cool. You know, I enjoy it. He doesn't really know how to talk trash, so I just kind of get the guy. But so I said, hold on. I'm not going to do this publicly because if you do it publicly and it backfires, now you look like this.
Yeah,
you look kind of like a chump. You win. So I called the bosses directly. So I'm texting Dana. Dude's on vacation, barely getting back to me. I go, okay, this dude's not answering. I'm calling Lorenzo. So I just call Lorenzo and cannot understand how Lorenzo even answered the phone because this dude never hardly answers. Dana will answer before Lorenzo. I talked to Lorenzo. He goes, I'm trying to get the details. He goes, I'll call you back. Finally, Dana texts me. I left him a message. I'm running on the treadmill.
Now, I heard you say about that message, I don't leave messages.
I don't. I never leave messages because I'm like, okay, Dana White, how many messages does he have in his phone?
Yeah.
Like, does he really listen to his messages? I left a message. I go, hey, I said, call me. Better call me sooner than later. You know, you guys are going to need me or something. Like, there was something crazy just off the top of my head. And I finally got a call back on Tuesday evening. It was the longest 2 days ever.
I bet.
Yeah, I bet it was. So if it hadn't been you, DC, who do you think it would have been fighting Johnson this weekend?
Ryan Bader.
He would have gotten
it. Yeah, this dude was jumping up. Ryan Bader's like trying to go fight for a championship. I'm like, what's this dude's problem?
He's doing the same thing you're doing.
Yeah, but still, man. Come on, Ryan Bader. Calm down.
I should mention, just for folks who maybe don't follow UFC, because we kind of skirted around it, but basically what happened with John Jones is they vacated the belt, basically. They said, you can't fight because he got in some trouble with a hit and run or something like that. It's still under investigation, but that's why he is not going to be fighting. So we're going to have a new light heavyweight champion for the first time. He's been champ for, what, 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah, man. He's been the champion. And someone asked me the other day, you know, like they said – Who else? Like you guys just said, I go, you know, I don't know because John beat everybody.
Yeah.
The problem is
he beat a bunch of different styles of fighters.
And that's the issue because he didn't just defend his belt. He defended it 8 times against 8 different guys. So every guy in the top 10, he's pretty much beat except for Rumble Johnson. So whoever it was going to be was going to be a rematch, whether it was myself, Gustafson, Bader, Teixeira, Evans, Rashad Evans. I mean, he's beaten everybody in the top 10, you know. So the guy's been dominant, man. And for a long time, people said the only guy that could beat John Jones is John Jones. And right now, it seems as though that's what happened.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question about Jones, and then we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the fight this weekend more, DC. And that is, did you learn something in the fight in January that would enable you to be able to beat him had you had a rematch with him right away?
I did learn some stuff. I learned that. I mean, you know, man, I knew he had determination and grit. The guy's tough. He's got a good chin. I hit him with some hard shots. I learned that I have to stay focused for 25 minutes of him and I fight again. And don't overemphasize what I'm doing. It's just another fight. I put so much into that fight that I think I left a lot of myself inside of the gym. And it showed after the third round. But
so you got tired in the championship rounds?
In the championship rounds, okay. I got tired because I was so emotionally tied to that fight. I needed to separate myself from that and just go out and fight like I always do.
Was all the smack talking, did that become a negative or no?
Everything. It all Everything became, I mean, everywhere we were fight week, we were about to fight. We almost fought in the lobby. We almost fought at the press conference. We almost fought at the stare down. We almost fought walking to the weight check. It's like we kept getting into these things, and it was just too much, you know, and now I've separated myself from that with Jones and with Johnson. I have none of that. So now I can just go out there and compete like I feel like I was made to do.
I love it. Daniel Cormier is here, UFC light heavyweight fighter. The fight is this Saturday at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Get it on pay-per-view or go to Ticketmaster.com to be there in person. UFC 187. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. He was a Strikeforce champion. He's a two-time U.S. Olympic team wrestler. And this weekend, he may find himself with a belt above his head as the UFC light heavyweight champion. Daniel Cormier in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, we kind of got us up to this point where we're looking ahead toward this weekend in Las Vegas. What do you think? What comes to mind when you think about Rumble?
Power. Yeah. I mean, if you look at that, I mean, from the way he looks to the way he hits, everything. You know, just brutal power, man. The dude hits like a Mack truck, and he's confident. He's very good.
Who have you fought in the past who's most like him?
You know what, man? The problem is, like, I've fought guys that hit hard before. I fought, Roy Nelson is known for his big power. Bigfoot Silva is known for big power, but none of them are explosive as Anthony. So that's where you have to be careful. I can say, well, I've fought guys that hit hard before, but I haven't fought anyone that has the explosive power like Rumble Johnson. So I don't think I've ever felt quicker than. Oh, he's much quicker. He's much quicker than the bigger guys that I've fought. Dan Henderson obviously has great power, but he's slow. Rumble Johnson's not slow. He's fast and he has power.
That fight that we were so excited about with him versus Gustafsson, when he walked out there and he was obviously a stranger in a strange land. Gustafsson had the entire arena on his side. I was like, how is he going to pull this off? And it was like nothing.
You know, I was there actually working.
You were in Stockholm for that?
Yeah, we did. It was a network show, so we had the desk in Stockholm.
Oh, right. That was on Fox Sports.
Yeah,
right?
It was on Fox. So 27,000 people at 3 o'clock in the morning when Gustafsson walked to the octagon. I've never felt anything like that because I wasn't in Canada when the UFC had 55,000 people.
Right.
But it felt big. It was massive. It was an arena show. I'm like, man, MMA's growing.
Yeah.
But no company can do this anywhere but the UFC. No one can put on a show like this. And then Gustafsson comes out. The big screen's got, like, the Swedish flag. You know how the UFC does that now?
Sure.
It's like the flag with the UFC in it. Rumble walks out like a walk in the park. Little smirk on his face. Dude walks. He walks in there like he doesn't have a care in the world. And I was like, wow, Anthony Johnson's going to get this done.
Let me ask you about that. Is there a home advantage? Because in that particular fight, there wasn't.
There wasn't because Rumble didn't allow it. A lot of times, if the fight goes long, you start to feel the crowd. I think I was going to have one in New Orleans. I went on the radio and told him to throw things at Ryan Bader as he walked to the octagon. I said, throw things at him. Make him hate that he's in Louisiana and never want to come back. So hope if someone hit him with something, then he would feel a home court advantage.
Yeah, sure.
But Rumble didn't allow it to be a home court advantage. He took Gustafsson out, man.
There's so much mental in that game, too. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago with the Pacquiao fight, about how relaxed and joking he seemed to be when he walked out in Las Vegas. Because I don't know why. I would always think that, you know, maybe I watch too many Rocky movies, but I always think this is your Eye of the Tiger moment where you've just got to be mad and you've got to be focused. But some guys are able to just go loosey-goosey on it.
When you can relax, you have a better chance of competing because there's not all this built-up nervous energy, you know. You got to have competitive nerve. But when you see guys that are too, they're probably a little nervous, you know. And when you're too nervous, it's hard to compete to your best ability. So the Pacquiao thing, I think it went too far. I was like a little more serious. No pictures. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they did stop for a selfie.
They stopped for a selfie.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, don't take
a
picture.
And then he was smoking, and then he had cotton candy on the way out.
That was just
a little too much. You know, he could have been relaxed. Like, Mayweather always looks relaxed.
Yeah.
He doesn't look, but he's not stopping to play around. You're there for business, so.
What did you think about that fight, quickly?
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was one of the most boring fights I've seen. And it just because I thought Floyd could actually take him out as the fight progressed, but he just never puts himself in danger. But it was a good fight.
What frustrates me about him is he just doesn't fight. We watched
Triple G last weekend, and that was good. So
we talked so much after the Floyd Mayweather fight about how UFC was the big winner of that night, because every time they touched, they got pulled apart, and you kept thinking, no, grab him, go for it, you know?
Why is no one kicking?
Throw him down to the ground. All the stuff that we're so used to seeing now, it seems so one-dimensional to watch that fight again.
It's because with the UFC, you see so many events now. Like, we fight so often, and how many times do you get a big boxing pay-per-view? I really believe last year, in boxing, there were 4 pay-per-views. There were only 4 pay-per-view fight cards last year.
And I got none of them.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So it's like there was only 4 pay-per-views, whereas the UFC, you see us on Fox Sports. You see us on Fox Sports 1. You see it on Fight Pass. You also see it on pay-per-view. So it's what you see more often. You kind of get used to.
And you've got so many stars, too. I mean, you've got so many big names in UFC, too. And I'm sure it's only going to continue because now the kids are 14, 15. They've grown up with UFC, and they're going to want to be in it, too.
Well, and that's the thing about the UFC. You know, who could have thought that when guys started to go away, Chuck Liddell, Wanderlei Silva, Forrest Griffin, George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, when those guys started going away, and those were the guys that pioneered the UFC into the mainstream, you probably thought it would take a step back, but then you got guys like Jones and
Cormier.
Shane Velasquez. You have guys like Chris Weidman. He hasn't quite made it yet, but I believe that after this, you can't ignore the kid anymore. He's probably one of the best fighters in the world.
He's fighting this weekend as well.
Yep, yeah. Chris Weidman. So you got new stars, and then guys like Conor McGregor. You know, guys, they make new stars. Ronda Rousey, obviously. Yeah. So, you know, just the machine just keeps going and going and going.
Can I just ask this real quick? Because there's this element of disrespect happening, too, because John Jones is not fighting. People are saying, it's just going to be a paper champ. Does that even add more of a whole other layer to this fight?
Well, you know what it does to me is that because I just lost to Jones, and they've made Anthony into this monster, you know, that he can beat anybody, he can knock anybody out. So for me, it's almost like just wait and see.
Yeah.
It's going to feel good to say, well, hey, this is a guy that you guys all thought was unbeatable, and I beat him. You know, so when Jones comes back, watch his fight again. It doesn't matter if you like me or you hate me. You can't ignore the fact that I've done what I've done in this sport, and I'm not going anywhere. You know, so paper belt, no paper belt. After I win that belt on Saturday, there's nothing more for me to do in MMA. I've won the Strikeforce Championship. I've won regional championships, and I would have won the UFC Championship. I can walk away. No, and you guys can be so mad at me. I'm just saying, I can walk away with my paper championship and I will hold it high. I will hold that thing high and say, how many people in this world can walk out in front of 14,000 people and fight a guy as dangerous as Rumble Johnson and become the UFC light heavyweight champion?
Yeah. I guess we'll find out. That number is either 1 or 0.
Exactly.
You're 35 years old. Is that what you said?
36 in March I turned.
36.
Wow. Yeah,
so does it matter what happens this weekend? Is that going to determine how much more you fight? Is it possible you're done?
You know, man, I'm going to fight for a little bit. You know, I'm just kind of sitting here looking at the banner, and Vitor and I's faces look so much older than Rumble and Chris. They're 30 and 28 or something like that, you know? So, no, man, I'm just gonna kind of take it day by day. You know, I'm not worried about retiring yet. I still feel good. Thing about this is I'm 36, but I've only been fighting 5 years. So it's not like I've been doing it for a long time. My body's younger than my age in this sport. So I don't know.
I'll be wrong. Is there a certain part of you that goes, if I'm the champion, I'm gonna defend it? Because
yeah, for sure. If I win this fight Saturday, I'm definitely gonna defend it. You know, but at the end of the day, my thing is to eventually fight Jones again. And I don't think I'm going to go anywhere until that happens.
That'd be great. That would be great. Well, let's hope he gets his act together and gets his legal situation settled, and we make that happen. That'd be super fun. All right, man. Anything else you want to tell us before we go? Besides MGM Grand Garden Arena, Las Vegas, pay-per-view starts at 7. Prelims air on Fox Sports 1 starting at 5. You can go to the fight at the MGM Grand Box Office or Ticketmaster.com. Your final words, DC.
Make sure you guys watch UFC 187 from the MGM Grand. Prelim start on Fox Sports 1. And every week, watch me on Fox Sports 1 on Wednesday, UFC Tonight. Guys, tune in. Thank you guys for the continued support. Love all you guys, and I appreciate it. See you Saturday.
Thank you, man.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin. And mm-hmm. the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wait, hold on.
Even by Moment with standards, was this is confusing.
Wait, we're doing what? Hold
on. Was that edited?
Nope.
At all?
That came out of your mouth.
Huh.
That was a fully formed thought that came out of your
Those
mouth.
Those words in that order.
And you said, yeah, you started pumping your fist, skating backwards, because you said, now I'm really involved in the interview.
I don't really ever do that.
Let me hear that again. I might have missed something. Yeah.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And mm-hmm. the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing that.
That was A Moment yeah. with
So the answer that you ask is stop it?
That's the answer we always ask of you, too, and we don't get a response.
What happened?
Stop it. Just stop.
All right. We are about 35 minutes away.
Just one more time. Just one more time, and then we're going to move on.
Come on.
Just one more time.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And mm-hmm. the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it. Stop doing that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Please try to formulate ideas clearly before you vocalize them.
All right. It's a good idea. A little over half an hour away from a big-ass announcement here on the Kevin Beach Show.
Big ass.
You won't want to miss it. And then the creator of The Human Centipede, director-writer Tom Six, joins us in studio.
How do we feel about that? How do we feel about Human Centipede 3?
I'm excited because apparently there's a human caterpillar in this one, too. So
I'm scared.
You got it all. Now you have everything. He's going for a long series of human bugs. And I'm looking forward to the human cockroach. I think should be very entertaining. The human ladybug.
By the way, Kevin on Friday said that if Tom Six decides to make a human centipede out of us, he calls heads.
I get heads.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fair enough.
I get smart.
You called it.
Yeah,
very smart. You called it.
That's right.
You get it. That's how life works.
That's how it works. Thank you, Ralph.
You got dibs.
Thank you.
That's the answer I always ask.
Who's got dibs? First, time for the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Well, since it is Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Let's do it now, shall we? Pitch Perfect 2 shocked the world by coming at number one this weekend with $70 million. People expected it to do well. I don't think anyone expected it to make $70 million. Nor really was it anticipated that it would beat out Mad Max Fury Road, which is the big kind of actioner that most people go to see during the beginning of the summer blockbuster season. And it did very well for itself, but at $45 million, it came in significantly less than Pitch Perfect 2.
I will tell you, though, that critically, Mad Max is just a home run.
Oh, people are loving it.
People who see it love it.
Yeah. Avengers Age of Ultron, third. Hot Pursuit, fourth. Paul Blart and Mall Cop 2 and Furious 7 were tied at fifth place. Then Age of Adeline, Home, Ex Machina, and Far from the Maddening Crowd. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office.
Where do you guys think Paul Blart's going to go next?
Oh, I hope it's the moon. I hope Paul Blart in Space is the next one for number three. And then there's a big piece of plexiglass at the space station that he can't see because it's so clean. And he drives his little Segway around the moon and falls in a crater. Oh, he's fat. He can't get up.
Ah. Kevin, if they make a Paul Blart 3.
Oh, Bean, you don't need to even finish that question.
It depends on the trailer.
Oh, stop it.
Okay.
I want a good movie.
We said goodbye to Mad Men last night. Oh, I was actually sad. I was actually sad that that series was over. That's how much I love that TV show.
Me too.
I think it's maybe my favorite TV show of all time.
Wow.
I thought about the end. I was like, I can't remember a television experience that moved me in more directions than that TV show did.
I think it has been my favorite TV show on the air for the last 7 years. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
It sure is great. Kevin, what'd you think?
I loved it as well.
Yeah.
Did that
yeah,
scene
that's a character? Yes.
Yeah, Don. They did a great
yes,
scene.
That
Don
is, last that is night. Yes.
Oh, I thought I was going to.
You did.
I thought I was never going to stop crying.
And they did the scene
in the office where they were talking about advertising.
You lost it. Oh man, you were so close.
Shoot.
Yeah, it was just it was spectacular in every way. So congratulations to those people. And while we're looking at TV that we love, this is actually good news. David Lynch has announced he is back on board for the Twin Peaks sequel.
Yay!
He famously announced that it wasn't going to work out between him and Showtime to bring back his beloved Twin Peaks, but apparently whatever needed to happen, happened. they coughed up some more money or they gave him some more freedom or what have you. But he is back on board. He will be directing the Twin Peaks series. And the good news is we get even more than the 9 episodes we thought originally we were going to get.
Pretty sweet.
So everybody's on board, and everyone who's starring in the show is thrilled, including Kyle MacLachlan, who tweeted, "Welcome back again, Twin Peaks Special Agent Dale Cooper on Showtime, hashtag damn fine coffee," tweeted. So looking forward to seeing
him. Is he coming back as Yelling Man? Was that his character, Yelling Man?
David Lynch. He played an FBI agent who was hard of hearing.
He was Kyle MacLachlan's boss.
Okay.
With the FBI.
You know, that sheriff.
Yeah,
it was great too. I was thinking, Ralph, of the major characters that I've kept track of. I think only Jack Nance is dead. That comes to my mind. It seems like almost everybody else is still around, even though that show was so long ago.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll
so,
be seeing everybody.
I mean, they I think they got their pick of storylines if they want to go with whoever.
And if you're like me, you've been sitting around just waiting and waiting and waiting for Janet Jackson's return. Where has she been, you've been asking? What? Where is she?
Who's been asking that?
Everyone, Kevin. We've been demanding it. And she's been turning a deaf ear to us.
That's the answer I've been asking, I know that.
But finally, on Saturday, we heard this.
I promised you'd hear it from my lips.
Michael!
And now you will. This year, new music, new world tour, a new movement. I've been listening. Let's keep the conversation going.
Yes! Let's keep the conversation going. She's coming back! She's coming back! A new movement! I don't know if we need to know that much about her personal life.
What's your honest level of interest in a new Janet Jackson?
Could not be less.
Same.
The people who make major announcements for things no one is asking for always entertain me. She thought, yes, now everyone's going to be happy because I'm putting this out in the world. And was met by a collective yawn. Can I work the concession stand?
She was an enormously successful artist at one time.
I agree.
At one time.
I think she would do well in a Vegas show someplace.
Right.
Where her fans could go.
You don't see her as a contemporary artist.
A world tour? Do we really need a Janet Jackson world tour?
You know, it's weird because she has vanished. Didn't she marry some sort of Saudi billionaire or something like that? And she's been living overseas. She hadn't been photographed for years. I mean, she's really been gone.
Look at my
gone.
Janet Jackson.
I don't know that
bio
much about Janet
here.
Jackson.
I got it. Let me see where she. I don't know! What makes you think I care what Janet Jackson's been?
It's just unusual to see somebody who's that big a star just kind of vanish, that's all.
Ugh, Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Right.
Just saying.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jack Johnson, 40 years old today. I'm more curious to know, where's Jack Johnson been? Does he go into hibernation like a bear in the wintertime? You don't seem to see him or hear from him, but as soon as it starts to get warm out...
I feel like
he comes crawling out of the cave. You get the sort of jaunty beat going, and that guitar starts. He puts on his Javieros, Havanas. What do you call those flip flops? There's a big brand of flip flop. Havanas.
I don't know.
He puts on his flip flops.
Right, we get it. Right.
He goes out there and he grabs his board and he just starts cruising down the beach. Come on!
Singing about his bubbly
with
toes.
The bubbly toes.
That's right.
He's 40 years old today. Tina Fey, she's 45. I miss 30 Rock.
That was a good show.
That was a good half hour each week I could count on from this. But, though, did you see Veep last night?
I didn't yet.
Oh, sweet Lord, that show makes me laugh. So funny last night. Kevin Dunn, who plays Ben, her chief of staff, he's talking to her about a pending hurricane that's happening in North Carolina. She's excited because she can get some photo ops with the wreckage, basically. And he says, "This is the kind of potential tragedy that would be great for you." Just made me laugh. Chow Yun-Fat, legendary action star, turned 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's Joy right there, one of the very talented acts that played the sold-out Kerouac Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015 on Saturday. Thank you again to everybody that bought tickets, everybody that came. Kevin, you could not get over how big Vance Joy is and how tiny his musical instrument is.
It makes me laugh every time. He was in the studio playing. I was like, the guy's 7'2", and he's playing.
Don't talk about his penis like that, guy. He can't help
no,
the
I'm
size.
Talking about his ukulele. He plays the ukulele. It's a...
Oh.
Minnie's in the size of his instrument.
It is kind of a comical visual, but he sure sounded great. What a great voice he has, though. Almost everybody was great at the Weenie Roast this year. Ralph, I'm glad you're here because we had a chance to do a radio broadcast in person on Saturday.
Yeah.
We don't get the opportunity to do that very often.
Always good to see you in person, Bean.
It's not.
It always. Is. Not always. It's always fun.
I'm saying not always.
Now, I want to know, Kevin, why we have tape of us off the air during the live broadcast. Wasn't it enough that we were doing a radio show? Why do we need to tape the other stuff?
Because you...
Because you exist.
That's why.
Wait, what?
So we were sitting out at Irvine Meadows, and this is what I said.
Hey, guy who's running the board, what's your name?
Brian.
Brian, can you roll tape for us off the air, please? Okay, thank you.
Why?
There's no reason.
Because I want to hear Kevin say roll teep again.
I got that out of my system before he recorded.
All right, now I'm going to show you.
Did you get out of your system before he started recording?
Yeah.
Is that how we got the recording of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm going to tell you why we roll tape off the air at times.
Girls are good, Ralph.
So we're playing a song on the radio, and we're waiting to talk, and then this kind of conversation happens.
This is what Bean does this all the time when we're not broadcasting to you. When we're just waiting during a song or a commercial stop set, this is the kind of thing we get from Bean all the time.
Girls are good, Ralph.
Right?
You missed it, Kevin. Did I miss another good story?
I just sat down
at
that moment, so Ralph has to recap.
Yep. Want to hear it in its entirety? Let me give it to you the exact conversation.
Right. Girls are good, Ralph. But it's true.
It's all?
Yes. No one's arguing that.
That is, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
Okay.
It's more a declarative statement.
That's all it is. I wasn't trying to...
But what we're saying is that's a given from the beginning.
Okay.
So it doesn't need to be said?
Right.
From the beginning of time.
Bean is a guy who doesn't get out much. So when he sees actual women in the world...
Girls!
He's like, wow, they look better than TV.
And that's saying something coming from me.
So we did a bit on, was it Friday, the Three Stooges?
Yes.
Yeah. Friday we talked to Three Stooges, in heaven.
It wasn't a bit. You talked to the Three Stooges
in heaven. That's what I meant. That's what I meant, okay. Yeah. And Bean had some questions about that.
Are you actually doing all three of them?
Yes.
All three of them talk?
Yeah. Mo, Larry, and Curly.
I couldn't remember if all three of them talked or just two of them talked.
You thought there was a silent stooge? Have you ever seen the act?
I didn't. Yes, I have. No, I know. And the
you thought there was Harpo was a stooge?
No, I know the TV show.
I saw the silent
stooge. I didn't know if
last night.
What you were doing was all three or if you were just doing two of them.
I do not like
There's a lot of Mo. I know there's a lot of Mo.
Well, he's always the lead speaker.
Yeah, exactly. He's a bad man, by the way.
He's not. He's just, he's a rough boss, but he's fair, I think.
He doles out punishment evenly.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why they keep coming back for more. Like, why do they hang out with that dude?
Because they're buddies.
Kind of deep discussions we have during the songs on the Kevin and Bean
Why
show.
Do those guys that were on TV in the
30s who made those movies
hang out with each other?
Why did they hang out with him? Because that was the story of the movie.
Pretty much. So it might not have been real?
Yeah. If they walked away from him and it was just one stooge,
he's having a lot of trouble
to make the Three Stooges movies.
He's having a lot of trouble telling the difference between real life and TV.
Yes.
Wait, I thought that was a documentary about those guys who lived together.
Nope.
All right, now this, something... Everyone was sitting right there, and something happened to me that no one noticed.
That blew my mind.
So I felt I would share with the boys.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys what just happened. It's embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you what just happened.
Right.
How could something have happened just now with you sitting next to me that I'm not aware of? Did you just have an out-of-body experience?
What did we miss?
Are you doing astral projection?
No. What happened was I was sitting here, and I looked around for my headphones. And I looked under here, and I couldn't find them.
Couldn't find them anywhere.
So I saw these. I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll put these on. I went like this. Got blocked by the actual pair of headphones.
I was wearing headphones the whole time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find headphones. So I was looking around for headphones. They were in my head. So I found another pair and tried to put them on over those headphones. So.
You are special.
Already on. That happened.
That's magical.
Girls are good, right?
That's awesome.
That happened.
Yeah.
thoughts.
Wow.
Some of the behind the
scenes. Hall of Fame.
We're good. We're good. That's what I'm telling you.
So the hardest part about living in the world in 2015 and not being a Taylor Swift fan, Kevin, is that you can't avoid hearing about Taylor Swift, not just from me, but from the world right now, right? She's everywhere.
Yes, but you're the most offensive in that you're in my circle of people that I talk to every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, for me, it's 90% from you. I could pretty much ignore her if it wasn't for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, last night she was all over the TV. If you were watching the Billboard Music Awards on ABC, they world premiered her brand new Bad Blood video last night with lots of guest star cameos. And then, of course, she won, I don't know, 8 awards or something like that. And I know there have been some complaints from folks who have said in the past, A, Taylor, sit down in your goddamn seat. Don't dance all show. It's not about you. And B, you can't be surprised every time you win an award. You know that you're popular and that people like you. At this point, after you've won 80 awards, you have to expect your name's going to get called once in a while. Why are you always so shocked?
That's what sort of rubs me the wrong way, is I just find her disingenuous. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it just seems like
I thought this might be a good opportunity, Kevin, for us to hash it out, because we do have Taylor Swift on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh.
And maybe we can find out what's happening, and maybe if you're just misunderstanding or misrepresenting her, what's happening. Taylor, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you're calling me. I'm so surprised.
Yes, you can. We set this up with your...
You're calling me. I can't believe it.
Taylor, you knew
what
we were going to...
What even?
What even indeed?
What even indeed?
Was what even one of your acceptance speeches last night, Taylor?
It was such a good night. I mean, what even?
Okay. Well, what does that even mean? Just that you're excited? Thank you? Is that your way of saying thank you?
Right? What okay, even?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think yes, Pete.
Okay. All right, yeah. Fine. Mm-hmm. So you weren't surprised to win all these awards. You know that you had the best-selling...
I can't believe I won everybody awards last night.
But you know that you had the biggest album of last year. You know that you had these number one songs. You knew that you were popular. It couldn't have been a surprise to you when you heard your name called.
I had no idea. Everybody loved me so much. And then all my awards were ever going to be coming. And my video, Bad Blood, which was just released this week, was such a surprise and everyone loved it. I didn't even know they were going to show it last night. What even?
What are you talking about? You didn't know they were going to show it last night.
It was a surprise. They showed video.
It wasn't a surprise. That was your plan. I mean, you have been promoting it for a month that it was going to debut last night.
I couldn't believe all the stars were in that video. I had no idea all those people in that video.
They're your friends and you shot the video with them.
What even?
But you made the video. You invited people like Selena Gomez to be in it.
I'm so happy to be here and to be here and play music for you because I'm an artist. Oh, thank you.
What are you? Who were you?
Thank you so much.
Who's applauding, Taylor?
Oh, thank you.
Taylor?
This is a great... What even?
Do you have a crowd that follows you around to applaud when you say something?
I've hired a studio audience, yes.
It's wherever you are.
Wherever I go, whatever I do, I get applause.
Okay. What about the dancing? You have to know that you're in the front row and that the camera is on you all the time. Why are you always performing?
Haters gonna hate.
Right. I wasn't hating. I was just asking why you're standing up in front of an audience and dancing all night long and singing along to every song.
I can't help it when the music moves me. I can't help it because I love the music. I'm an artist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you. What even? What even, right? Who's with me?
But for the most part...
What even?
Taylor?
Yes.
For the most part, most of the audience does the sort of this where they are all stand up and dance or they're all sit down. You somehow are able to just dance the entire time, even when everybody else is sitting down. That just seems like maybe you're crying for some attention a little bit.
No, I just can't help it. I just love music so much because music is the language that binds us all together and makes us all one. Right? Thank you. What even?
I can't handle the crowd anymore.
What even?
All right, Taylor. Well, what even to you as well? Jeez. You okay?
Yeah. I have to go trademark what even. Bye.
When we had our last guest on, November 10th, 2014, it was to announce that he and his band would be playing the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas concert. Unfortunately, for reasons that are evident to anyone who has an internet connection, they did not make that show. They didn't make a lot of things for the next couple of months, but he is back and better than ever and in town, and we've got a plan for the man on the phone. Our friend Bono from U2 joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Bono!
Even on a cloudy day.
Indeed, sir. How you feeling?
I feel great. And
I feel so great. Kevin, you turned up, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, this is the third time we've talked to you in, what, 9 months? And I missed the first two.
Yeah. You know, so you're a busy guy.
Yeah. Fido was taking it seriously the second time. He was like, come on, seriously. What the F, you guys?
No, it goes to your head. And I remember you guys, you know, you're humble. You're starting out in clubs. You know, you're just, you know.
Too big for Bono. That's how we like to look at ourselves. Well, listen, before we drop the bomb, before we give the announcement of the cool thing that you have come up with, Bono, let's talk about you and how you're doing for real, because we haven't spoken with you. Obviously, we've seen you back. The show debuted last week in Vancouver, just got rave reviews, and you look healthy and strong and happy. Are you able to do everything you could do before the bike accident except play guitar pretty much?
Yeah, I mean, it feels... Look, I got banged up pretty badly. It's embarrassing that you can do this on a push bike, but I'm fairly to rebuild. I feel like I have somebody else's hand. That's the only thing.
Are you bionic right now?
I'm sort of bionic, and there are advantages and disadvantages. Airport security is not great.
Sure,
Yeah, I my fingers are kind of a little strange, but you know it may come back, and they'll find out in a year or so.
You'll find out in a year or so.
Yeah, the nerve damage takes about a millimeter a week. So I've got a titanium elbow, and the rerouting of the nerve did damage to it. So these two fingers, which as I look at them now. We're never very attractive, but they could perform these functions like fretting on a keyboard. And though the band don't seem that concerned that I'm not playing on tour, I use a guitar like some people suck their thumb, and you know, which is to say, I kind of hold on to it quite tightly, and I like to write on it and do things. So I'm if I can't play guitar for ever again, I would be very, very upset. And I might have to go in and do some more surgery to fix this.
Gotcha. What about day-to-day stuff like handling keys or opening cans or just things that you have to kind of twist your fingers in particular ways? Are you having trouble with those things too?
Ask me more about my southpaw and you'll get a better answer. You know what a southpaw is?
That's a left hand, right?
Well, in boxing, I don't have the southpaw, but I still have right hook is strong.
Good.
He's not a problem.
Gotcha. Okay, good.
Thank God.
All right. This is the voice of Bono on the phone from YouTube and the Kevin DeBean Show. We're going to announce something very cool in a minute. Let me ask you one more health update, and that is we did see the photo. He appeared to be fine after the fall off the stage, but how's your boy The Edge doing after the other night?
Yeah, I've been seeing commentary that one of the most dangerous jobs in the world is being in U2.
Yeah, like, and that was your first show, right?
Yeah, Edge is great. You know, he's the Edge, so it's like he falls off of stage and he lands on his feet. You know,
yeah.
He's like a cat. They just throw him up in the air. He's going to land on his feet. He's got that hand-eye coordination thing.
Did you see him during the show? Did you see him fall?
No, I didn't. I've seen the film of it though. It's kind of remarkable. We're gonna get leather. It's bubble wrap.
Yeah,
good idea
for this band now.
All right, so Acoustic Christmas didn't happen, and I know that you were very generous in agreeing to do that. And you, when we spoke with you at the time, you said how much you were really looking forward to it. Obviously, it didn't happen, and we said, well, if there's any chance we could come up with something that we could do in the future. And now here you guys in town. You're playing 5 nights at the Forum. There are still just a few seats left for the final date, June 3rd, if you want to go to Ticketmaster. The other dates are already all sold out. So you're going to be in town. And what we've come up with, Bono, and I understand that you've already signed off on this, is that you too – the biggest band in the world is going to play the Roxy in a K-Rock only show, correct?
That is correct. And, you know, I think Edge announced our tour on K-Rock. And it's a different kind of tour. We're trying to play to people who don't normally get in to see us. You know, we're trying to play indoors. We're putting on extra dates, just trying to... We're out looking for a new audience as well as trying to keep hold of the one we have. And we're trying to put ourselves in unusual locations. And we played a subway there in New York.
Yes, you did. Did some busking.
Fallon, which was fun. But there's a thing in us, you know, we came to Los Angeles We played out in Reseda in a place called the Country Club, which is gone now.
Oh, wow.
And it really, it kicked off this love affair with Los Angeles. And we haven't played a club, like, probably since then. I mean, since records began. I mean, before electricity was invented. Roxy's is kind of, you know, legend. And all these extraordinary artists played there for us, people who were really important to us, like Patti Smith or Bruce Springsteen. But I saw Iggy Pop there, which is mind-blowing. So you organized it for us. Thank you.
Is it going to be difficult to scale down your show mm-hmm. into the Roxy? I mean, that seems like that's going to take a lot of work.
Well, the egos of Larry, Adam, and Edge, it's going to be tricky. I'll be fine.
You're fine.
I'll just swan past security. Edge's pedals. I'm trying to. Where are we going to put him? He's got like NASA at the side.
Yeah,
of
I don't think you're going to have time for that.
But his thing is, you know, I can do it. He's been working on simplifying his effects. You know, he's really a scientist, and so he's been in the lab trying to shrink his side of the stage so we can do these things, and we want to. And next year, you know, we just want to break out of where we've been at. We really do want to find see if there's an audience there for us who haven't thought about our band because we've always been around. And we're noticing at the shows so far, there's a younger audience as well as people have been around for a while, and that really is inspiring to us.
And part of what you've done with this new show, and we'll talk more with you about this when we see you coming up here at the Roxy, Bono, but part of what's cool about it is you have a portion of the show, some of the songs you do, on what's called the B stage, where it really is just the four of you kind of in a tight little area together playing whatever you want. And that's part of the set list changes every night, as I understand it. So that does kind of a little bit get you back to your club roots, even though you're in a big arena, right?
Yeah. Rather than a B stage, we call it the E stage. We have the Innocent stage and the Experience stage, the I stage and the E stage. We also have this stage in the roof of the arena. We have one that kind of connects the I and the E. The stage is all over, though. You can't escape when we're there. And that's really been since punk rock and the late 70s, are, you know, the thing, the core idea behind all U2 shows is smashing the fourth wall, trying to break through to our audience, whether that was stage diving or, you know, me going into the crowd with a white flag, which I remember doing in the Forum years ago, and getting into a fist fight with members of our audience. I thought, hold on, something's going a little wrong here. I'm here with the white flag, Mr. Nonviolent. I just thumped somebody in our audience. I need to get over this Irishness. But, you know, we've always tried to break that through with the satellite stages or the B stages. We're using video reinforcement as video art, always pushing the envelope, always trying to innovate. And this new show really takes it to the next level. And
well,
we have been getting rave reviews, and we're thrilled.
You really have. And again, those nights at the Forum start on May 26th. Four sold out. You can still get some tickets available for June 3rd. So this event that you're doing for K-Rock at the Roxy, just to reiterate for our audience, you cannot buy tickets for this event, but we will be giving them all away on the radio from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. all this week. So you'll be able to win those tickets every hour to see you two at the Roxy. And as Bono said, this is maybe the smallest club you guys have played in probably 40 years, right?
Yeah, I think so. And
are you going to – if you bring that blue cowboy hat from the subway, we might have to let in one fewer person. So is that part of it?
Did you think the scuzzy beard kind of looked a little too kind of correct with me? I saw another life there.
That was scary, Bono.
It was scary,
yeah.
I think I was a little flushed, so I had a kind of, I think, quite a cool kind of albino complexion. And the white hair, and I like that look.
Well, we're glad that you're well. We're glad that the Edge is well. U2 continues to do it, like we talked about last time you were on. There's no band that's been together longer with its original members than your band, and you guys are as strong as ever, and these shows sound like they've been amazing. We can't wait to see it at the Forum next week, and we can't wait to see you at the Roxy at the K-Rock show. We'll be giving away tickets. As a matter of fact, let's give away the first pair right now, Bono. Give me a number Between 1 and 100, please.
Oh, I have it clearly in my head. And in fact, I just saw the number went by last night and I mentioned it to somebody. It's my favorite number.
Go ahead.
Have I just to think one? About this? Is this like a magic trick on the radio?
No,
it isn't really.
No, you're allowed to say the number out loud.
Okay, this number is going to work for you people. Okay. It's gotten me out of a lot of jams. It's the number 22.
22. All right, so caller 20.
In casinos.
Caller 22. Yeah, that's a bad thing. Caller 22 right now says, Bono, you win the first pair of tickets to see U2 at the Roxy. Call 1-800-520-1067. Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin.
Oops. It's 8:56.
What was the rush, Kevin, to give Bono that extra 1 second to say goodbye? What was the rush? What were you headed off to? You're not running in Pimlico. What's happening?
I don't even know what that means.
Okay, write that down for me. What was the rush is my question
for
you.
Well, he was saying goodbye. I mean,
he was saying goodbye. Let him say goodbye.
Stop saying that like that's a reason to hang up on someone.
Let him say goodbye.
To say goodbye, you don't have to hang up on them. Let them finish their goodbyes.
What do you say? Why is that so hard?
Let them say goodbye and maybe take a breath and then hang up the phone after that.
It's Bono. You don't want to hang up on anybody, but you really don't want to hang up on Bono after you've already hung up on Paul McCartney.
What the hell do you have to do that's so important?
Is a legitimate question that we would like an answer to.
What is the goddamn hurry? What do you need to do?
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog.
Congratulations.
It's Bono.
Stephanie.
You're you.
Stephanie.
Whatever you want to do isn't as important. You let him finish.
Congratulations to Stephanie Hollander-Grady for Blog Beat. She won the very first pair of tickets to see, yes, I can say it now, U2 at the Roxy, which is coming up next Thursday, May 28th. We'll have tickets for you every hour from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And we apologize to Bono and U2 and their management that we hung up on your man.
It gets better.
It doesn't get
when?
Better, though.
25 years we've been waiting. When does it get better?
He was finished.
You know how we know he wasn't finished? Because you hung up on him while he was talking.
I didn't technically hang up on him as much as I started playing the promo while he was
well,
talking.
Well, as long as the promo got played, then by all means, just step all over the guy.
This is why you fail.
Exactly. Thank you, Mini Yoda. Hey, we'll try to pretend that didn't happen and talk to Tom Six, who is the creator of The Human Centipede. He joins us in studio coming up right after the top
Kevin's
of the
Kevin's going to let him talk all day long, I guarantee you.
First, Ralph's got the show.
That was, the conversation was over.
That's not the point
no,
that he was
no,
done.
Let me tell you something. You know how I know it wasn't over? Because he was still talking when you played something on top of him. That's how
I
it
don't
was.
Think,
by definition, it wasn't over because he was still talking.
I don't think most people would have realized that had
everyone
you not.
Everyone heard it. Everyone. Twitter exploded with, asshole, you did it again. Check your Twitter feed.
I'd rather not.
You'll be snowed under.
I'd rather not.
God damn it, Kevin.
Well, it was only Bono.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
God damn it.
What are you saying?
God damn it.
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Pitch Perfect 2 debuted at $70.3 million this week. Huge number. That would be for an action film, that'd be a big hit. But for a comedy about a bunch of girls who sing a cappella music, well done, Pitch Perfect 2. Well done. We shall meet again on the field of battle.
You're taking him down, are you?
But this time, I will be the victor. Pitch Perfect 3, I'm waiting for you. Mad Max Fury Road in its debut surprised everyone by coming in well behind Pitch Perfect 2. $44.4 million it made this weekend. Avengers Age of Ultron, $38.8 million. A lot of money made by the top three movies at the box office this weekend. Hot Pursuit came in at number four, $5.8 million. Maybe not as much. Then Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, Furious 7, Age of Adeline, Home, Ex Machina, and Far From the Maddening Crowd were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We got some good news over the weekend. Looks like David Lynch will be, in fact, returning to the reboot of the Twin Peaks TV series that he so famously created 25 years ago. Showtime and Lynch have apparently patched up whatever differences they had, and he's back on board and will be directing every episode of the upcoming Twin Peaks sequel. In fact, you're getting more than the original 9 episodes they had slated, so it looks like we're going to get more than expected. So I'm guessing they threw a bunch more money at the production. I think that was the problem. Lynch wanted the scripts that he submitted were sort of heavy in production, and the budget needed to be raised a little bit, and I think Showtime balked, and then he walked. And now they're back on board.
They talked.
And they've given him some more money, apparently. So that's good news. Right?
It is.
Don't you want to say? I'm excited for Twin Peaks.
Same.
I know it's going to be hard. It's got a lot of fans of this series who say, how can it possibly live up to that original series? And I guess that's true. But I'd much rather see David Lynch take another swing at it than anybody else.
Yeah, no question.
It's like George Miller redoing Mad Max. You know, if you're going to do a reboot, if you're going to breathe new life into an old franchise, you'd like to see the guy responsible for it originally.
I agree with you, and I think something else that is working against Twin Peaks is that they were so groundbreaking when the show was on, and now a lot of shows have built upon that and kind of followed in its wake.
Yeah, but you know what? Lynch is genuine weird.
Yeah, he's still pretty far out.
He is
there,
a legitimate lunatic. He's not somebody who's trying to be clever for clever's sake. He's not M. Night Shyamalan. He is a organic loon.
Yeah,
and I think there's something about that madness that is always creative and interesting.
Yeah, he'll still be two steps ahead no matter what we've already seen. You're probably right.
He's going to be so weird that he'll outweird whoever has weirded after him. You dig?
Would you hang up on David Lynch if you were on the phone, Kevin?
I just want to say I'm looking forward to... Sorry to bring David Lynch.
Let's listen to the end of it.
Let's goddamn listen to it.
I think it was not noticeable.
You really?
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel that you really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin. See you.
The world's biggest
band. All right, so he said, see you, Kevin. See you, Bean.
See you.
See you.
See you.
And you're sure that's all he was going to say?
Yes.
Even look, you can't pull that off without laughing.
Here's what we keep telling you, Kevin. Even if what you're saying is true, you're still blasting a promo into his ear before he's hung up the phone. He's still hearing
that's
that element.
That's the rude part.
That's
he's
right.
He's talking and then he's like, what the F? Just what was that?
I just think you're
play
used...
Play it again.
Rather not.
Play it again.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin. See you.
The world's biggest band.
Now he's holding the phone away from his head. He's like, what the hell? See you, Kevin. See you, Bean.
Did he say Bean?
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't hear
Underneath
Bean.
Underneath the promo, you heard that?
I did, yes.
Oh. So you couldn't give him the een? Couldn't wait the een. You couldn't bear to hear the een.
He got b. Out,
right.
Though.
Why not give him the een?
Sir,
yeah, I think the man's earned it.
We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See?
You know what this is
Why
like, Kevin?
Why do you say see like see? You didn't do anything wrong?
That was perfect.
This is what it's like, Kevin. This is like you've had a party, and as you're walking your guests to the door, as they're stepping over the threshold to leave, you slam the door against their ass. Like, literally, you can't push them out of your house fast enough. Rather than let them clear the step and then wave and then close the door behind them.
No. The doorknob goes up their rectum as they're going out.
Wow.
You put a doorknob up on his rectum. That's exactly what you did.
That's what I did.
Well, we'll find out when we talk to him next. You son of a bitch. Today's celebrity birthday is Jack Johnson is 40 years old. My favorite part of that was hearing Ally McKay howl as the promo was playing. The microphone was still on.
How did he do it again?
That's what we all thought.
Stop it. He was finished. That was great. I liked it.
Jack Johnson's 40 years old today. Tina Fey, it was great.
Tina Fey is
45.
I like the way that ended.
Chow Yun-Fat is 60 years old today.
You could do it again. You'd do it just like that, wouldn't you?
He'd cut him off sooner.
It was sweet.
Like, thanks, K-Rock. Blah! Coming! Blah! K-Rock! Blah! Tremendous. tremendous dork. Hey, remember when I apologized for calling you the guy who drives a short bus?
Yeah.
I take it all back.
Yeah.
You're the driver, you're the passenger, you're the mechanic, you've painted the bus, you are short bus. Bono. Interrupting.
I think it went well. Was happy with it.
From the hell's heart, I stab at me.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat is brought to you by Arclight Cinemas.
Congratulations to Carlos Perez from Mission Viejo. Just got tickets to see you two at the Roxy. Keep listening for your chance to win at the top of every hour here on K-Rock.
Somebody just woke up and just heard you say the words "you two at the Roxy," and it blew their mind. Because they didn't hear about 20 minutes ago when we talked to Bono from the band U2 all about the show. They couldn't play Acoustic Christmas back in December, but they are in town and they're going to be doing this for us. You cannot buy these tickets. You can only win them from K-Rock at the top of every hour, as Kevin mentioned. So good times. It's going to be a lot of fun. I never thought we'd meet this man in person. I was actually terrified to meet Tom Six in person because he is the writer, director, and producer of the Human Centipede movies, the third one of which is being released on May 22nd. But then Tom walks in. He couldn't be more pleasant. Couldn't be a nicer guy. Tom, what's going on in your twisted, evil brain that a nice guy like you can create the Human Centipede?
Well, it's the big contrast. Eh? From the outside, I look very dandy-like, but mm-hmm. the inside is very black. Very
yes,
dark.
You're very dandy-like from the outside. I'll say that. You're very stylish and friendly and yeah. European.
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
Well, I'm a victim of a very happy childhood. I was born like in a very sweet family and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what's going on in my mind, but I have a very dark, dark vision, dark brain.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from. It's really
you
strange.
You don't?
No, I have no idea.
If I were to meet little...
I feel like this is an actor that's been sent in by Tom Six right. to play Tom Six.
Just throw everybody off. Right. Yeah, yeah. It has. It really yeah. has.
What yeah. was what was 10-year-old Tommy Six into? What did he enjoy?
Yeah, I had a little pet dog and cats, and I played with my friends. But I also had this sick macabre humor,
uh-huh.
so I built my little boy's room into a horror room with chopped off hands and stuff I bought in this.
When you were 10?
Yeah, when I was very little already, I like to spook people. I don't know where it's coming. It's
okay.
kind of a sadistic little mind
and
I had already.
Friends, family ever sit you down and go, hey, what's happening?
Yeah.
What are you?
My family also has this quite sick sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they enjoyed what I did. They never said behave normal or something.
There's the problem right there.
Yeah.
Was there a book or a movie or anything that in particular you remember from a very early age that kind of got you interested in horror?
Oh, yeah. When I was like 10 or something, I already saw the film Salò by Pasolini. I don't know if you know that.
I do know that movie.
A very famous European horror-like film from the 70s. And that's really what, made me think, my God, can people make this? And it's based on the works of the Marquis de Sade. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
him we're familiar with.
Yeah.
So we saw 50 Shades of Grey, man. We know what's up. So Tom, at what age did you think, hey, maybe I won't just be a fan, but I'll also be a creator and start making movies? I mean, when did it occur to you that might even be a possibility?
Well, when I could walk, I already walked around with my grandfather's home 8mm camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I shot my own little movies and I was obsessed. I don't know. I think it's a kind of a virus that I have to make movies. I don't know where that comes from. So I knew, from very young age, I wanted to be a filmmaker and it never stopped. And then I went on to making television in Holland. And at one point I said, we have to start our own little business and make films. So I made three films in Holland, and then I made The Human Centipede.
Then The Human Centipede.
I'm afraid to ask how the first idea for The Human Centipede came to you. Like,
I was watching television in Holland, and there was a really nasty child molester on, and he got a very low sentence for punishment. And I said they should stitch his mouth to the anus of a fat truck driver. That would be a proper punishment. And everybody in the room was like...
So sort of an offhanded joke.
Yeah, it is a joke.
Uh-huh.
But that thing kept lingering in my head, and I thought, that's a brilliant idea for a horror film. And I love some strong punishment. That's why in number 3, I use it as punishment.
Yes, in prison.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I slowly told people about my idea, and everybody says, you're crazy. How can you make a film like that? It's impossible.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make it, so I went all the way to get it done.
Well, we are going to spend quite a bit of time talking about The Human Centipede 3 that's going to be coming out on May 22nd, also available on video on demand as well. But while we're talking about one, so you got the movie made, obviously. Was it – refresh my memory. Was it difficult to find distribution? Was it difficult to find theaters that would play it? I mean, it was very controversial at the time it came out, right?
Absolutely. It was a hell, everything, from the casting to the distribution, everything. We had to fight like lions to get it done.
Because it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, there's a reason it's all so difficult.
But I myself see it as comedies. I think they're very black
That's
comedies.
That's disturbing. Yeah.
And what kind of success did the first Human Centipede have, Tom? I remember it as being very popular in some circles.
Yeah, it really...
I loved it. I know that.
Yeah, thank you. Now, it exploded. When we did Fantastic Fest Film Festival in Texas, it really exploded from there. And like an aggressive virus, it spread over the whole world. Everybody, wanted to see it, talk about it. It's incredible.
Did it make a lot of money?
Quite a lot of money. Yeah. So we're very happy. But that makes us, continue the films. Eh? Yeah.
Did two make as much?
Less than one, but still two is because it was banned, of course, by the BBFC in the UK and in Australia and Germany. That, it got so much brick press from CNN, and
that actually helps.
It helps
you so much.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and two, if I remember, was way more honked up than one.
Yes.
It was also in black and white, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
two, right?
Yes.
And that's what the kids want. How many people were in the Human Centipede in Human Centipede 2?
In 2, there were 10.
Ten people.
Yeah, there were supposed to be more, but they died during the process. So,
sure.
Like they do.
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with Tom Six, writer, director, producer of the Human Centipede 3 final sequence. Just as we go, how many people are in the centipede in 3?
500.
Bingo. Now it's a party. We'll be right back with Tom Six after this on K-Rock.
Here's how you know it's a movie you want to see. Has it been banned in Germany? That's the question. You ask yourself, has it been banned in Germany? If the answer is yes, you want to see it.
Then you're in. We're talking to the very charming Tom Six. He is the writer, director, producer, creator of The Human Centipede. The new one is called The Human Centipede 3 Final Sequence. And I know you're thinking, what's left to do once you've stitched 50 people together ass to mouth? Well, the trailer answers that question for us.
Warning, the following preview may be too disturbing for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised. In the annals of horror, only one film series is almost too disgusting to describe. Now,
what is this?
The unthinkable has become all too real.
Hey, cockroaches. Did you like these films?
You're a sick man!
The final chapter.
It looks medically accurate.
To the most notorious movie franchise ever made.
You insane freaks should get the death penalty.
The taste will never leave your mouth. The Human Centipede 3, Final Sequence.
This is exactly what America needs.
The best part of that is the taste will never leave your mouth, which is so true, Tom.
Yeah.
All right, what's the premise of 3?
Well, my original idea for The Human Centipede was that it is meant as punishment.
Right.
And now I go for the full punishment, so I use it in the American prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And there this crazy warden comes up with the idea of stitching his inmates together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my idea. That would drop crime rates, don't you think?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Imagine.
Why is the prison named after former President George H.W. Bush?
He's so notorious, of course, with this Guantanamo Bay and stuff and all that was in Europe, very big. So I thought, I have to make it a little politically. It's very politically incorrect, the film. So
really? You think it's politically incorrect?
Not one or two.
Cool. I understand that you've had some stronger reactions to 3 even than you did to 1 or 2. Is that true?
Yeah, because it's very politically incorrect. It has racism, blasphemy, misogyny, everything that's in the...
Yeah, it's everything bad.
Everything bad is in that film.
Yeah.
But all it's...
You get other people saying that was really funny?
Yeah, a lot. Lots of people I have. Okay. Yeah, yeah. They have the same twisted mind of me. Some people really vomit and hate it and hate me. And,
put that on the poster. Some people vomit and hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Some people vomit and hate it.
Yeah.
Tom, I read that you needed a bodyguard for one of the screenings of this movie.
Yeah.
How come?
I get so many death threats daily from crazy idiots on Facebook or email us. They say I'm worse than Satan. I'm worse than Hitler. I have to be eliminated, shot, cut open by glass. I get it all the time. And I think, I am crazy. Look at you guys.
Yeah.
So you're worse than Hitler because you made a horror film where nobody actually got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they were all willing participants who were actors who were being paid to portray those roles.
Yeah,
and now you're a bad guy.
Absolutely. They can't, they think it's all real. I must die for them. Crazy.
Allie, during the break, asked you, I think, a valid question, which is, have you killed anyone?
Not yet. Yeah. No, psychologically, I did, but
and,
in real life,
and that
not.
Was my next question. Yeah. Psychologically, daily, I'm sure you're murdering people in your head.
I have this, torturous mind. As I can imagine,
sure.
If I have, yeah.
I don't think it's the same, though, Allie. I don't think it's the same. I don't.
What reactions
have worse than Satan.
Have you had, Tom, from hardcore Centipede fans? I'm sure you've had some people who have impressed you with how much they love the franchise.
It's incredible. I have people that have tattoos all over their body. They have the head of Dr. Heiter on them, Martin on them. It's incredible. People send me cakes, which they make. It's so out there.
Like winning free stuff? Then you'll love Pingo. Pingo is a photo sharing app from CBS Local that lets you win prizes just by taking pictures. Download the app now in the iTunes Store and start playing today.
You think?
Yeah,
it's bad.
Can't
say that word.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Radio,
okay.
America.
Oh, sorry.
They wanted to show you that they would...
Yeah.
They would actually be in a centipede, basically, in order to be in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those... People want to show you that, understand that it's a movie, right?
Yeah, but they want to impress me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
Tom Six is here talking Human Centipede 3, the final sequence. Do you mean it when you say that? Is this the end of the story?
Yes, it was intended as a trilogy. That the three films make a human movie, Centipede. They can literally be connected. So you have one 4.5-hour movie.
Okay.
I'm not watching that for 4.5
There's
hours.
There's the next singles party, Kevin.
I have to be honest.
But if I have to make a fourth film, it had to be about aliens connecting the human race.
Or
maybe a charity organization stitching up all starving Africans to help the hunger problems or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with that one.
I don't think that's a great idea.
Maybe that's a road you don't want to go down. We're just trying to suggest that maybe that's not the way to go.
Tom, you have an actual big-time American well-known actor in your film. The governor in your movie is played by Eric Roberts. Yeah. Were you surprised that he said yes to be in something called The Human Centipede 3?
Well, I was looking for the ultimate American with a great voice and his little mean face.
Right.
And we contacted him, and he said he loved the Human Centipede films because a lot of people in Hollywood love it. They're big fans.
So he knew about one.
He knew about
you didn't have to get on the phone and go, okay, here's what happens.
He knew about him. So we Skyped together, and he was enthusiastic, and we sent him the script. And he loved to play it, so it was perfect.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What are your – we're almost out of time here, Mr. Six. What are your expectations for a film like this? You're not going to make Avengers money here, but, I mean, is this a movie do you think that will be successful and popular in the theaters?
This one, it will go to the roof, I think.
You think so?
Yeah,
okay.
Because this is set in America, and we have popular actors in this one.
Uh-huh.
And people talk about it so much in America and UK, and so I think it will explode.
Well, there's no question you've got a huge fan base. I mean, you know, it's one of the most remarkable horror movie franchises of all time, you know, so there's always going to be a certain amount of people that go. The question is, will it get bigger? Is this the kind of movie that people who love it will say to their friends, you got to see this? That's what we're hoping, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow, it's we still can't believe you're the real guy who came up with the Human Centipede.
It's not possible.
You're so delightful, but congratulations. The film is called The Human Centipede 3 Final Sequence. It's being released on May 22nd. You'll be able to see it at the Arena Cinema in Hollywood, but it's also going to be available on video on demand digital streaming services, so everybody will get the opportunity to see it. Tom Six, thank you so much for coming by. We really enjoyed it.
Pleasure. Thank you for being on the show. It's great.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40.
Yes.
I think it's too late for that, Bean. I think we got time for the moment.
Yeah.
Showbiz.
Some people might have missed it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't
possibly be this simple is stop it. Stop doing that.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Even if you had the words right, you said the question that I always ask. By the time you got to the end of that, you would have said your question would be, stop it.
Yeah.
That would have been the
even
question.
Even if I got the beginning
right,
part.
Even if you had the right syntax.
Right.
Yeah. It still would have ended up a moment with because your question would have been, stop it.
That's a great question, though.
Yeah.
Stop it.
It's hard to argue.
I don't.
Like, how does that?
I don't.
Come on now.
You know what's really funny? Let me give this a behind-the-scenes moment because here's the way it goes down. Is we'll say, hey, we got a new moment with the play. And Kevin will be like, what did I say? And then Ralph and I always say, how do you know it's you, buddy?
Yeah.
It might not be you.
It could be anybody.
And then we play it. And then Kevin goes, is that edited? Did you guys edit that? And then we'll go, no, we didn't edit it. Kevin, he's like, did I really say that? We're like, yes, you really said that.
This one, though, is edited.
No.
It's not, though,
it's
right.
Not,
but then when you hear it, Kevin, like, in your mind, there's no way that even makes sense to you, right? Like, you're as surprised as the people listening that that was a sentence that came out of a professional broadcaster's mouth.
Well, I mean,
right?
You guys are putting it out there like it was a sentence that came out of somebody's mouth.
Oh, that's the way it was. That did happen.
You edit through the editing magic that you guys...
That's raw tape right there, as they say in the business.
Yeah. Kevin is like every contestant on Survivor who goes, right. Oh, man, it was the editing, dude.
Yeah. It's not really me.
I'm not like that, man.
Everybody loves me.
All right, 9:42. You're 15 or 20 minutes away or so from winning your place at the Roxy to see U2. We're giving away tickets every hour at the top of the hour, all day long, all week long, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Can't believe it. We haven't talked about this since you guys hung up on Bono.
What?
Since you hung up on Bono. But U2 at the Roxy,
right?
You can't see a band like U2 at a place like the Roxy.
Haven't played a place like that in 40 years, he said, just before I hung up.
And some people already bitching and moaning online said, oh, this is stupid. It doesn't matter to most people. Who cares? Because most people can't see it. It's like, well, that's true of a lot of great things, right? But if you do get in, if you're one of the lucky people who are there, it's life-altering. It's one of those experiences you'll remember forever. So yeah, you can't poo-poo something just because, you know, not a ton of people can participate.
Yeah, it's going to be the best concert experience of their lives, the people who get to go.
It's like saying the lottery sucks because only one guy gets to keep all the money. Well, yeah, but it's a great opportunity for everyone, right?
Right. Everyone can try. Yep. Everyone can try to go get in, right?
So keep listening here. And
I hear Kevin's got so many tickets for anyone who asks, though.
Yeah. Oh, no. He said he's going to make it rain tickets.
Should be handing them out is what I hear.
Kevin@krock.com. If you're looking for tickets, just go to him because he's got an extra stash that he just likes to give to people that send him penis photos. That's what he said. He said that? Yeah. Kevin said the bigger the penis, the more likely the ticket. That's what the Kev dog said.
Penis.
Yep. There he's just said it again. Oh, Lammy. Hey, let me give you tickets. Speaking of tickets, let me give you tickets to the premiere of San Andreas.
Yay!
This movie looks terrifying to me. More terrifying than any Tom Six strung together human centipede could ever be.
Because you're not likely to find yourself inside a human centipede.
Because I live in California.
Yeah, you are likely to die in a major earthquake.
You're not likely to die in a major
earthquake.
I think there's an 80-20 chance that it's coming this week.
Yeah.
Anyway, just everyone who has any sense at all is terrified of a massive earthquake in California. And this is a movie that preys on all our fears.
You are all going to die tonight.
That's right. The massive earthquake in California forces a rescue chopper pilot played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson to make a dangerous journey across the state to save his daughter, played by Alexandra Daddario, by the way. Marron, as they used to say in South Philadelphia. Marron!
Which means?
Mother of God, that's a good deal right there. Huh?
Kevin, she was she was Woody Harrelson's girlfriend, if you remember, from True Detective. The one who handcuffed him to the bed or to the couch, remember?
Oh, yeah,
that one.
She was one of the girls who moved in down the hall in New Girl. Remember when the coach and Schmidt were trying to get their...
She's a good deal.
She's a good deal.
Yeah.
Dave, we would like to have her on the program to talk about her new film, San Andreas, please.
Carla Gugino also stars. This movie looks just terrifying, and also I'm awestruck by the quality of the special effects and stuff. Looks like amazing, and Rock's always good. If you'd like to go to the premiere of this film, it happens May the 26th at the TCL Chinese Theater. I've got
five pairs of tickets. So let's say callers 5 through 10 right now. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 5 through 9 right now. We get a pair of passes to see the premiere of San Andreas. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Call now to see San Andreas.
And we'll get right back to you.
And we'll get right back to you. I don't know if you saw the Billboard Music Awards last night. Taylor Swift was the big winner. She won 8 awards. She was so impressed, she said about the evening, "This is such a good night. What even?"
Well, she's a very smart, articulate woman.
She sure is. Then you see that Bad Blood, the new video, Bad Blood, is premiered last night.
I did not see that.
You're not missing a thing. Okay, it's good. It's nothing. It's zero. It is just all style, no substance. It's just a bunch of people dressed in black leather pretending to be futuristic badasses of some sort. Nothing happens in it. Nothing. Except... A stunt woman who looks like Taylor Swift does a bunch of stuff, and then they cut to her going, "Eh," like, sort of, like punching like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. It's a train wreck.
So you like it?
It's all right. Mm-hmm. Janet Jackson, it's a name you haven't heard for a while. She is for real. She came forward on Saturday, made a special announcement, one that we've all been waiting for.
Have we?
Yes, Kevin. According to her, she's been listening, and we've been having a conversation with her. She's hearing voices. Here's her quote.
I promised you'd hear it from my lips, and now you will. This year, new music, new world tour, a new movement. I've been listening. Let's keep the conversation going.
Woo! Woo! Rhythm Nation, rise up! Ms. Jackson! Shut up!
Was so popular in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, son, she's back. It's a new movement. New world tour, new music. Boom!
Did any of you see her then?
No.
Because I was never that interested in her.
I was never a fan. But apparently... people have been talking and she's been listening.
I don't think that's true.
They've been talking.
I don't think so.
You know what they've been saying? I'm glad Janet Jackson's not around anymore. And she keeps hearing, when's Janet Jackson coming back? It's very strange. And this I thought was interesting, but kind of sad at the same time. You know Ariel Winters, little girl, she's not little anymore, star of Modern Family?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ariel Winter. Is her name. Sorry, I added an S. She has been made finally an emancipated minor after years of drama with her estranged mother.
I love Ariola.
No, it's Ariel. She Ariel. Was 17 yeah. years old. She plays Alex Dunphy on the show. And she was finally granted emancipation from her mother. The courts found evidence that her mother, Crisola Workman, was emotionally abusing her.
Hmm.
In fact, her older sister had been her legal guardian since 2012, but now at 17... she's been declared an adult, and she's on her own. It's a hell of a responsibility for a 17-year-old. Yeah. But luckily, she makes a good living, so I guess she can afford to step out on her own. So, good for her. Good I think she's her. Great on that show, too, by the way.
I do,
she's
too.
Terrific. The whole cast is.
That's one of those shows that's so impressive that they cast those actors as little kids. And the show's been on long enough that we've seen them grow up, and they've turned out all right, and they continue to be really good actors.
Yeah, it's not always the case, is it? Sometimes a really cute kid actor can't cut the mustard as a grown-up. But
yep.
They're good. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chow Yun-fat is 60 years old today. Tina Fey celebrates her 45th birthday. And singer Jack Johnson is 40.
Simple as something that nobody knows. The eyes are as big as a bubbly toes. On the feet of a queen of the heart of the car. Peter and Fester with our balls.
Who? What do you mean? Summer music, man. Makes me want to drink out of a coconut.
Sure.
Like we all do at summer.
Like we do. With a little parasol stuck in there, drinking out of a coconut in a hammock.
Right.
Hey, look at that. What's that, a narwhal? Nope. Nope, that's a porpoise. Ah. I got to find some porpoise in my life. Boom! Oh, that's what I say when I'm on the hammock. Because a life without porpoise is no life at all.
You should just die.
This coconut's delicious. What kind of rum is that? Pineapple? That's what I'm asking the bartender in, on my beach. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with the beat.
In a lot of trouble,
I'm a little tired. I'm a little overtired, I think.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's a pretty full one, too. We have Dana White in studio talking UFC. We have Dr. Harrison Wells.
Reverse Flash. He's so evil.
Tom Cavanaugh on the program tomorrow. We have the Bachelorette Report.
Yeah, I forgot tonight is the debut of the Bachelorette.
Now, Ralph, I want to understand.
You should understand.
So there are.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you, Bean. People are telling me I'm yelling at you too much lately.
You're not yelling at me any more than normal.
I'm going to yell at you. What's your question, buddy?
Two girls who are they both want to date the gaggle of guys, right?
Right.
But do they each go through the process, or is one actually eliminated tonight?
This is the most shocking Bachelorette ever.
So it's a big stunt, basically. It's going to be a regular Bachelorette, except they're going to throw one girl
Stop
off on
it.
The first episode.
It's the most shocking Bachelorette ever. It is Britt, the lovely and talented Britt, who I adore from last
season.
She was
the smelly one, though, right?
She did not shower, but apparently she smelled great. And then there was the other girl, Caitlin, who was known as the rapping Bachelorette.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah.
Time and a half. Flying down the rapids. My heart is beating fast.
How are you high
for
this
I
guy?
Don't fall out so I can do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's impossible to do for
All right,
him.
So they're both
so they're squaring off.
Okay.
And they go in there tonight to the cocktail party, and they meet 25 eligible bachelors. And then the gentlemen spend quality time with these two girls, and at the end of the evening, they decide which of those girls they want to pursue. So one gets the lads, the other one gets the sads.
Oh, my God.
But then, so after that, then it's just a regular then it's just a regular bachelorette with just one woman.
Oh, Bean.
Right?
How many questions can you possibly have? Watch it or don't.
Suck the magic out of everything.
Okay, all right.
Also, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, you're still talking about the show.
Alan Coulter, who is the announcer for The Late Show with David Letterman. There's only three left. Three.
Yeah.
That's right.
Three tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday.
20th.
That's it.
20th, it's all over.
I think Alan's coming on because he's hoping somebody listening will give him a job.
It's
I think
possible.
That's what's happening.
Alan Coulter.
And the host of The Voice, Carson Daly, will be here talking about the finale of that show. That's all tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean.